Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We'll do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
It's the, you know, Kevin Systrom and Instagram, it's all of these people, understood this consciously, and we did it anyway.
That culture is missing here. So part of what we're trying to do to achieve those goals is like take really big, audacious points of view on the world and then train ourselves to be patient. And it's really, really hard. The entire society is set up to not be patient anymore. Consumer internet businesses are about exploiting psychology. And that is one where you want to fail fast because, you know, people are unpredictable, and so we want to psychologically figure out how to manipulate you as fast as possible and then give you back that dopamine hit. We did that brilliantly at Facebook. Instagram has done it. WhatsApp has done it. You know, Snapchat has done it. Twitter has done it. So there are great examples. WeChat is doing it. There are great examples of failing fast is the right path to exploiting psychology of mass populations of people. I feel tremendous guilt. I think we all knew in the back of our minds, even though we feigned this whole line of like there probably aren't any really bad unintended consequences, I think in the back, deep recesses of our minds, we kind of knew something bad could happen. But I think the way we defined it was not like this.
Turn it off. That's what I would say. It's hard for young people now because they're hooked. They're addicted. If you don't think you're addicted, and I'm talking about anyone, from the highest to the lowest, if you don't think you're addicted, then see if you can turn it off for a week. It got quiet in here, didn't it? Didn't it get real quiet? It's a tool. So we should use it. God has blessed us with free will. Now it's free will magnified, free will on steroids. You're free to go in any direction you want. It will allow you, and it's not the enemy. It's just a reflection of our own free will. You know? And we all want to be liked. But now we want to be liked by 16 million. And will now some of us do anything to be liked? We used to do anything to be liked, but it was by the person in front of you. Now it's to be liked by 16 million people that you don't know. We have to ask ourselves, what is the long-term, if not the short-term effect of too much information?
So the context was, I was at Stanford, and the dean asked me to speak to the MBA students. And in it, what I was talking about was, the question was, you know, what do you think the long-term effects of social media in general are? And unfortunately, what happened was, I think it's easy to characterize what I said just as a Facebook-specific thing because I worked there and I was a key part of growing it. The reality of what
explain what you said at the time.
So what I said was, I think the tools that have been created today are starting to erode the social fabric of how society works. And what I meant by that is the following thing. Today we live in a world now where it is easy to confuse truth and popularity. And you can use money to amplify whatever you believe and get people to believe that what is popular is now truthful and what is not popular may not be truthful. You know, Joe and I, for example, we've been on the other side of climate for a long time, right? And the reality is now I can take money and I can use that through all of these social media systems that exist to hundreds of millions of people, and I can convince all of Joe's friends and everybody like him of my opinion in very subtle and small ways. And he can do the same to me. We can do that about vaccines. We can do that about gay rights. We can do that about bathroom laws. We can do that about Roy Moore. And so I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we live in a world where this is now possible? And
so it was about that, but just so I understand, was it because I read and watched parts of what you were talking about. Part of it seemed to me about the ability to pay to manipulate people's thoughts. The other seemed to me to be this sort of ADD society with which the sort of liking everything else has created this sort of feedback loop that you compared to drugs.
We know for a fact that what all of these systems do, every single one, is it exploits our own natural tendencies in human beings to get and want feedback. And that feedback, chemically speaking, is the release of dopamine in your brain. And so what these feedback loops do, and they exist everywhere, in Call of Duty, in other video games, in social networking sites, they get you to react.
When Facebook was getting going, I had these people who would come up to me and they would say, you know, I'm not on social media. And I would say, okay, you know, you will be. And then they would say, no, I value my real life interactions, I value the moment, I value presence, and I value intimacy. And I would say, well, you're a conscientious objector, that's okay, you don't have to participate, but you know, we'll get you eventually. and like, I don't know if I really understood the consequences of what I was saying. Because the unintended consequences of a network when it grows to a billion or 2 billion people, and it literally changes your relationship with society, with each other, with it probably interferes with productivity in weird ways. It, God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains. You know, if the thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them to really understand it, that thought process was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you, you know, more likes and comments. And it's a social validation feedback loop that it's like a, I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with, because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology.
It literally is a point now where I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is truly where we are. And I would encourage all of you, as the future leaders of the world, to really internalize how important this is. If you feed the beast, that beast will destroy you. If you push back on it, we have a chance to control it and rein it in. And it is a point in time where people need to hard break from some of these tools and the things that you rely on. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. And it's not an American problem. This is not about Russian ads. This is a global problem. So we are in a really bad state of affairs right now, in my opinion. It is eroding the core foundations of how people behave by and between each other. And I don't have a good solution. You know, my solution is I just don't use these tools anymore. I haven't for years. It's created huge tension with my friends, huge tensions in my social circles. If you look at, like, you know, my Facebook feed, I've posted maybe 2 times in 7 years. 3 times, 5 times. Like, just, it's less than 10. And it's weird. I guess I kind of just innately didn't want to get programmed. And so I just tuned it out. But I didn't confront it. And now to see what's happening, it really bums me out. Like, think about, like, there were these examples where there was a hoax in WhatsApp where in some, like, village in India, people were, like, afraid that their kids were going to get kidnapped, etc. And then there were these lynchings that happened as a result, where people were like vigilante running around. They think they found the person, and I mean, seriously? Like, that's what we're dealing with. You know, imagine, like, when you take that to the extreme, where, you know, bad actors can now manipulate large swaths of people to do anything you want. It's just it's a really, really bad state of affairs. And we compound the problem, right? We curate our lives around this perceived sense of perfection because we get rewarded in these short-term signals, hearts, likes, thumbs up, and we conflate that with value and we conflate it with truth. And instead, what it really is fake, brittle popularity that's short-term and that leaves you even more, and admit it, vacant and empty before you did it. Because then it forces you into this vicious cycle where you're like, what's the next thing I need to do now? Because I need it back. Think about that compounded by 2 billion people. And then think about how people react then to the perceptions of others. It's really bad. So you're training your brain here, whether you think it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. Acknowledge that these things where you're spending hours a day are rewiring your psychology and physiology in a way that now you have to use to go and figure out how to be productive in the commercial world. So if you don't change this, you are going to get the same behaviors over here. change this. There's a reason why Steve Jobs was like anti-social media. But I am proactively trying to rewire my brain chemistry to not be short-term focused. I'm telling you they're linked. And I think that if you get too desensitized and you need it over and over and over again, then you become actually detached from the world in which you live.
You become callous, you become crude.
And you live in front of your screen.
But Chamath, let me ask you this, because the thing that I've been so concerned about is Facebook just announcing that you're going to be having some app that you can use when you're 7 to 13. I mean, it's one thing for us to be doing this, but to be hooking your kids on something that you're describing as a dopamine fix at that age, that's crazy.
So look, I think in the case of Facebook specifically, I think they have probably done more than any other company, quite honestly, to try to fix it because of all of the companies, and I've seen them all up close. They're the most, frankly, to be very blunt and honest, the best run and the most technically sophisticated.
But they're also emailing me if I haven't logged onto Facebook for a while saying, hey, did you see the post from so-and-so? Did you see the post from so-and-so? Trying to lure you back in. And again, we can make those decisions as adults, yeah. But as children, that is a different...
Well, I think the product, and I don't know it quite honestly in as much detail as I should, but I think the way that product works, because of privacy laws in the United States, you actually have to get parental permission. The point, though, is, and what you're bringing up, is, I think, is the most important thing. We all have never taken a step back and actually asked ourselves, how should we be interacting with these things now, 7 years into it? And what should we be expecting of the Internet at large? Look, the reality may be the entire business model of the Internet may be fundamentally somewhat broken, right? Because we allow ourselves to get interacted with in ways where we don't necessarily control the medium or the messenger.
And we are not putting up any barriers to ever give yourself any downtime for that either.
Exactly. And so it may mean that we all collectively need to figure out, not just individuals, but also the companies, right. Also governments, quite honestly, how different business models need to exist so that we can actually divorce ourselves from how this stuff
works. What goes on?
Tonight, hear a warning about Facebook and what some believe it's doing to kids. The warning comes from two of the company's earliest executives. Carter Evans is following this.
We kind of knew something bad could happen.
Chamath Palihapitiya, a former Facebook executive once in charge of user growth, now says he has tremendous guilt about the social network he helped build.
We have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works.
And it's influencing the next generation. Studies show 92% of teens go online daily, and 1 in 5 young people regularly wake up in the night to send or check messages on social media.
People need to hard break from some of these tools and the things that you rely on. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. Bad actors can now manipulate large swaths of people to do anything you want.
He's not the only social media executive blowing the whistle. Former Facebook president Sean Parker recently said the initial goal was to get people hooked.
You're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. The inventors, creators, understood this consciously, and we did it anyway.
We have to hold the tech industry accountable.
James Dyer is founder of Common Sense Media.
They, in many cases, have ignored the consequences, some of the downsides of some of the innovations they've brought to our society.
You don't realize it, but you are being programmed. It was unintentional, but now you got to decide how much you're willing to give up.
When Facebook was getting going, I had these people who would come up to me and they would say, you know, I'm not on social media. And I would say, okay, you know, you will be.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Weapon systems on this Death Star are not yet operational. The Death Star does have a strong defense mechanism. It is protected by an energy shield, which is generated from the nearby forest moon of Endor. The shield must be deactivated if any attack is to be attempted. Once the shield is down, our cruisers will create a perimeter while the fighters fly into the superstructure and attempt to knock out the main reactor. General Calrissian has volunteered to lead the fighter attack.
Good luck. You're gonna need it.
General Nadine. Oh, crap! Prepare to jump into hyperspace on my mark. Take evasive action. Green goo, stick close to holding sector MG7.
Admiral, we have enemy ships in sector 27.
It's a trap!
On one, this is goal, leader.
It's all right. All crap, prepare to retreat.
You won't get another chance at this, Admiral.
We have no choice, General Calrissian. Our cruisers can't repel firepower of that magnitude. At that close range, we won't last long against those Star Destroyers. The shield is down. Commence attack on the Death Star's main reactor. We've got to give those fighters more time. Concentrate all fire on that Superstar Destroyer. Move the fleet away from the Death Star.
And this is Starkiller Base.
So it's big.
How is it possible to power a weapon of that size?
Our system is the next target.
There is one. Precinct 47.
They have defensive shields that our ships cannot penetrate. The oscillator's been damaged, but is still functional.
May the Force be with us.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but four separate chat rooms. Plus, if you scroll down on the bottom down there, you can click on that link and go over and join People for People Radio in their chat room as well. So with that said, let's get on with it. It's a trap, yeah. So anyway, folks, I don't like sounding like some sort of know-it-all loudmouth. I know sometimes when I listen to my podcast backwards, I get on my own nerves. So I'm pretty sure I probably get on a lot of other people's nerves as well. You know, it's just that as I'm looking out here and seeing what all's going on in the world, I feel like that people are in so incredibly deep that they can't see the warning signs or the red flags, so to speak. You know, it's almost like everybody's colorblind. They can see a flag sitting there, but they can't tell what color it is. And it's like they just, like I said, they're in so deep they just can't see it, you know. And there's so many things that, to me, are, you know, warning signs or red flags of how society is going. I play all the time on here what Paul Harvey said back in 1965. Almost prophetic words, probably is prophetic words as far as that goes, but nonetheless, everything he said you can actually see going on today. And listening in on that podcast, you know, some of the first people that were you know, involved with putting Facebook and different social medias together, you know, they had reservations back then about some of the algorithms they were actually putting into play that would basically get people, to put it simple, addicted to those social media networks. And, you know, basically give them some sort of reward, like if I put a post out there and they'll tell me how many people like my post, and they'll give me the old thumbs up or something like that. And you hear me every once in a while complaining about the thumbs down on my YouTube video, mainly because I can't understand why it is. You know, or what's wrong with the video? Just tell me, as a person who hates my video or hates me personally or whatever, just thinks I'm sort of loudmouth, whatever, just say, oh, you know, I don't agree with what you're saying. It's not based on good science, or, you know, I didn't like the video. You know, I did have one guy say that lightning crash that I had in the beginning scared the crud out of him, so he thumbed me down, which, see, I respected that. But either way, that just shows that even somebody who is looking around for all these red flags can actually be manipulated by it. And when it comes down to the mainstream media and stuff like that, listening to things that they say on there contrary to what, you know, I think is truth or believe in or whatever, I can get frustrated by that, you know, and then that might affect my day as to how I'm going to react to tell people what's going on in the world and such. So, you know, we're like, I played also that Death Star one there where the General Akbar hollers, it's a trap, and it just sets in stone what I feel like. You know, people are standing out here on a battlefield and they're so in deep with everything that's going on. They're frustrated to the extent and disassociated with one another, and they're arguing with each other. I mean, I've actually seen on Facebook families cussing each other out, you know, regardless of the fact that, you know, their other children might be watching in on their Facebook post and how that's affecting them here, and, you know, somebody called their own mother, you know, the B word or whatever. And so you can see that the family deterioration and people wanting to, you know, have recognition, you know, like taking a lot of selfies of themselves and putting that out there and, you know, sharing all the good things that they do, or, you know, even some crazy stuff that they see, little memes with pictures that has something crazy on it. So you can definitely see a difference in how people as a society interact with one another than what I would have seen when I was growing up, or anybody that is my age or even slightly older than I am. You know, people will sit on one couch and the other one will sit on the other couch, and they'll text each other from across the room instead of having a open conversation with one another, you know, put the technology down and just, you know, live like people do. So, you know, I think this is probably one of the, of all the dangers in the world, it's probably one of the biggest ones, because we're getting to a point in history to where we're relying more and more on technology. And I watched a video just yesterday that really kind of disturbed me. it essentially was a modern or a futuristic style prison where a computer had an AI computer had the only job of keeping the prisoner alive in this cell. And so outside the deal, the computer had no knowledge of what's going on outside and only knowledge of what the needs were inside, and they actually had to train the person, the prisoner, to respond certain ways and interact with this artificial intelligence in order to get rewards, such as if the person wanted some food, you know, it'd have to say please or whatever, you know. If the person wanted to use the bathroom, it'd have to ask to use the bathroom and all this kind of stuff. And actually had a machine on the wall that would manipulate the person's mind and give them some sort of virtual world to, live in outside of just that cell alone. Because just by being locked in, humans aren't meant to be locked up. They need some sort of personal interaction with other people. Well, computers don't really understand that because they're not people. You know, they don't have spirits or souls or whatever it is that makes us unique, so to speak. And so, with that said, the person, you know, pretty much goes through a hard time trying to figure out a way to get out or try to figure out, a way to stay sane and all that kind of stuff. That's a futuristic kind of deal. But basically, to put that story in short, what it came down to was outside of the deal, people who were fighting against technology pretty much shut everything down outside, which all these black ops prisons that the government was running at the time got abandoned, and the computers were still in there and taking care of the people, but eventually the food sources in the machines all ran out and people began to die, or they would be committing suicide or whatever because, you know, they weren't being taken care of and they were basically locked up in this hole. Well, anyway, so eventually the hero makes his way out of the deal, and you know, things change from that point. But it's the whole thought process of at some point in time having a computer doing all the things to take care of your needs. And you know, like George Orwell, the way that that book was written up, if you haven't read it, my brain is like going 10,000 miles an hour trying to get, I got so much to say, but just not, I'm trying to find the most important portions of this deal is what I'm saying. Anyway, it's kind of tough. This is a tough subject because there's so much to be said about this. It's an important subject, and we're actually witnessing it on a small scale at this point in time because of the vastness of the internet and how interconnected we are, but in some sense we're not, if it makes any sense to what I'm trying to say. Because, you know, even though we have the capability of reaching out across the globe, some of us use this tool like for the Knights of the Round Table. You know, we bring it together for some common sense and solution talks and try to work things out and maybe get some of this message out there into the masses. But out there in Facebook, out there in the world of Twitter, and even YouTube for that matter, if you look close enough, you'll find a flood, a complete and literal flood of people shouting out to the world a message. And if you're not in the right place at the right time to see this message come across while all other messages are coming in behind you, the message that you sent out, like for example, I sent a story out one time about my dog when my dog passed away, and it was a heartwarming story. Some people got to see it and some people didn't get to see it, because as I put that message out, I could quite literally just sit there and watch as it went downstream and eventually so far back that unless somebody happened to stumble upon it, they would, you know, never find it, because every single day tons and tons of information's pouring in from all these different people. I mean, if you think about how many people's actually on the internet or social media networks, and they're all crying out for you know, attention or trying to share a message or something like that. You can see now why I say that I feel like a lot of the world is in so deep that they don't see the red flags and they don't see the warning signs. Like, for example, if you had somebody out there who was in trouble, maybe even potentially suicidal, and they put a message out there on Facebook and it got flooded downstream, you know, just washed right on down the stream of data that just comes pouring in all day long. You know, they think about all the servers and the hard drives necessary to keep so much data out there. And at some point in time, you know, it's stored somewhere and it could very well potentially get erased or whatever. But those people could be missed. You know, nobody would see that message going out there. And so, you know, with that said, that one person crying out in the background over there for somebody to notice them so that they believe themselves to be worth something, you know, could potentially get bypassed. And it's really sad because, you know, when you're a guy like me and you got a big old heart and you care about people and you really want to hear their story and you want to, you know, let them know that they're being listened to, and you think that there's so many people out there crying out for help that they just can't, one person can't help all of them. That's why I believe it takes people like the folks that show up on the Knights of the Round Table and in the chat rooms and People for People Radio, these people coming together to do what they've been doing all along to some extent. It was basically watching each other's back. Days when I find myself down, I got wonderful people like Barbara and Two Dog and Patty and Steven and other people that listen in from other different networks that, you know, they kind of help prop me up and give me the motivation to go. And so, you know, I thank them for that. And I feel thankful that, you know, this radio show has been able to do what it does. And, you know, I'm hoping that it continues even long after I'm gone, that people come together and they communicate with one another. You know, because I feel like these people out there, there's so many wonderful souls, potential wonderful souls, and even some that are kind of ornery that, you know, could potentially wake up and see the light, you know, so to speak. I feel like they're lost in the matrix, you know, lost in all kinds of different disinformation and mental manipulation. And that's why I said it's a trap, because for some people out here, what we got going on, like for me, this is a wonderful tool. This is a wonderful opportunity to reach out and touch people's hearts that I've never would have otherwise had the opportunity to speak with. And it's a research tool that, if used properly, could do wonderful things for the world. We could teach each other and learn from one another and make this world a better place. But for those out there in corporations, companies, and governments that, you know, want to use this to, you know, steer somebody's thought process towards an agenda or to manipulate their mind, quite literally, you know, mind control the masses, you know, get people to do things that they otherwise would not have done had they had that one-on-one communication like we share here at the roundtable. So, this is to me, it's probably one of the most important subjects, because we are going into an era right now where technology is advancing at such an extreme rapid rate, where we're actually seeing drones being weaponized, where you got these mechanical machines that, you know, at one point had a person behind a computer that could fly this and, you know, use the ammunition and the weapons on it to blow up buildings and such, you know, kill the enemy or whatever. And now, the more that artificial intelligence comes on the scene, it might get to the point where that person behind the deal who may or may not be able to push the button when the time is right might be replaced for something without a conscience, such as just an artificial intelligence that says, okay, well, if they look like this, if they're doing this, then I can fire. You know, but the person seeing that there could be a real person on the other side, might have some reservations about pushing the button. And so eventually, now you got all these machines running around making life and death decisions, just like you've got all these algorithms making decisions on what makes you happy or whatever, that's going to give you that dopamine hit that they said, you know, in order to make you feel good, so you keep coming back and you'll put more input in, more information. And if indeed this was actually Facebook was a CIA deal, they made a winner with this one, because people are quite literally giving up every bit of their personal information online. And that doesn't even count all the scammers and the hackers and everybody who are continuously, you know, running programs to try to see how far they can go and how much information they can gather. Your personal information's worth money out there. You're worth money. And so as long as you're using their platform, you're making them money for advertisement. You're making them money for selling your personal information. They're getting government kickbacks from black ops programs that want to gather up intel to find out whether you're a potential homegrown terrorist or a foreign terrorist or whatever kind of deal. And even for, to the extent of law enforcement, to be able to prosecute more crimes or potential crimes, which is part of what George Orwell's 1984 was talking about. You could potentially be a criminal. So once again, you know, folks, I don't want to come off sounding like some sort of loudmouth know-it-all, because that's not me. That's not my heart. But sometimes I listen to myself talk back, and when I hear myself, I really don't like myself very much as far as the way that I sound, because I'm not trying to sound like I know more than everybody out there. I'm this kind of, you know, savior jumping on the scene trying to make everything right. It's just what I feel in my heart is the right thing to do, is to try to throw these, those glasses, like in that movie where the guy puts on these sunglasses and you could actually see the advertisements said things like obey or whatever. And so I'm trying to throw my own version of glasses out there to get people to step outside that box and look around a little bit closer than they normally would before. So, you know, that's my only purpose here. It ain't for, you know, whatever, you know, I'm not looking for attention, anything like that. I just see a great need in the world, and I don't like the idea of people starving and being homeless and being in war zones and all that kind of stuff. You know, I have family and grandchildren and stuff, and I want to see that better for them. And so, to me, it's not for fear-mongering or fame or anything like that, but if anybody with common sense is hearing the words that I'm saying and you're actually looking at into the matrix, so to speak, like we've been looking, we've been so deep in the rabbit hole that it would blow your mind. But, you know, if you just take a peek out and you see what's going on and you recognize those red flags, those warning signs, maybe you can help steer somebody else, you know, out of the matrix. At least give them the opportunity to want to look outside and see what else is around. A lot of people are missing the real world, and that's sad, because the real world is so much better. It's real, for one. And they live their lives vicariously through a machine, and it's getting to the point where even our children are glued to technology so deep. And some of the things that you'll find on little kids' devices like that. One of the apps that just came across here in the last week on my granddaughter's little Apple Pad or whatever they call those things. I don't know, a tablet. Anyway, it was a little cigarette deal, and when you blow across the screen, it actually makes smoke come out of there. Boy, I'll tell you what, I come unglued. And I was able to get that thing deleted off of there, but I don't even know how they were downloading that. And so, with that said, parents need to really, really seriously pay attention to the content and not allow this thing to be a babysitter for their children. Because the dangers that's out there in cyberspace and the mental damage that could be done to children, you know, it's a serious situation. And there's so many things that you can stumble onto out there on the internet that you don't want to see. I'm telling you, that's for a fact, and I'm sure that a lot of you have been down that road, but there's things where people would have used to think were disgusting or filthy that it's just common ground, and it's funny now, where it wasn't funny before. So, once again, on this subject, I just try to apologize ahead of time if people think that I'm trying to sound like some sort of loudmouth know-it-all, because I'm not. That's not my intent. My intent is to try to put some information out there on the table that hopefully will benefit people. I mean, these are some amazing technologies we have access to. If we utilize them responsibly with common sense, I feel like that we could actually accomplish something with this. And so, you know, with that said, we've been joined by Honorable Knight Two Dog and Honorable Knight Barbara Three Crow, and potentially Patty will show up here soon, and we'll add her to the mix as well. So with that said, you guys got any thoughts on this subject there?
Well, good morning, Yoni Wash Day, everybody here. I just want to step in and say that first. And hi, Two Dog and Shaziz and all the other knights out there. Well, I think this is a very important topic. And, you know, talking about there's so many levels to this, you know. It's like how our habits are spread through social networks, how they influence our choices. But also how we influence. We also have the opportunity to influence others, but sometimes it's unconscious, sometimes it's deliberate, because I think that the elite have a deliberate social engineering situation going on, you know. And I just want to say that, you know, originally it was like the TV, right, when the TV first came out. But I'm going to go back further. Without the technology, how we still influenced each other, but it was a smaller community, you know, or you want to say just your tribe or your people that are nearest you, and how we live according to the structure of that community. And you didn't have a lot of extensive influence because you didn't have the connections. Now we have you know, worldwide connections, but we also have a deliberate influence through this technology, and I call it the internet, because I like to work with words a lot, and I was realizing how the young people are so hooked into this technology, and they're the coming generations, right? And so they're all internetted in this technology, being you know, led or controlled, or you know, information embedded in them, their perspectives, their beliefs, their you know, everything about us, and especially our children are really being subjected to this mind control through this technology. There's good things too, but my feeling is that people don't have the ability today to discern, you know, because they're so disconnected from that inner tool of what is right, what is wrong, through our feelings, you know. So the empathy of people, the morals, are all affected by social media, and I think this has to do with the deliberate social engineering of the elite or the cabal. You know, you have an amazing, well, I don't want to say stunning, rise, for instance, of the changes in soft porn, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go there. How, for instance, something has shifted in the behaviors of people who are drawn to these types of things. It's sort of like bait. The social media baits us. The mainstream media baits us, you know, what we're subjected to. Our community.
Do you think that, like I said earlier, that people are actually right now at this point in so deep that they can't even recognize these red flags?
Well, that's what I was saying, that they're actually, they don't have the ability anymore to consciously observe something or look at something or see something or hear something. They don't have their natural ability to discern that this is truth or a lie. I call it the discernment tool, you know, because which is a sensation, it's a feeling, a sensory perception that you have been given, everyone's been given that, to be aware that something doesn't feel right, that what you're reading or watching, there's something that does not feel right. Instead, you're drawn into it. You know, you're just sucked right into this, what you're reading, what you're seeing. And that's why, you know, people are losing, have lost that capacity, but that's why people, like we say, they're not awake.
Yeah.
They're not aware, right?
Well, I think also is that, you know, because of the way that real life is, you know, with its trials and tribulations, that a lot of people need that escape, such as, you know, I like sitting around watching movies, sci-fi movies about magic or whatever, you know, or, you know, going through space or something like that, and it's kind of like I get to go on this adventure or whatever, but, you know, I keep my mind in the real world outside of, you know, it's just a movie for me, but some people, it becomes so much more. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, yes, it does, because people are, so if you create a problem where people are, you know, despairing or hungry or, you know, unsuccessful, depressed, whatever it is, if you create these problems to begin with, and we know now that, of course, a lot of these problems have been manipulated to be part of the world, part of our experience, then you are going to be sucked into living vicariously through what you see on TV or movies. You know, you that will be your life. So you're stuck there, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so you can't discern that you are being manipulated, that what you're seeing perhaps may be wrong, morally wrong.
And actually, on the internet, you can actually create your own character, so to speak, you know? It's like,
well,
what you don't like about yourself, you see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, everybody's sucked into that. I mean, I see sometimes, you know, for many years, I was not interested in getting on Facebook, okay? My instinct said this is not a good thing, okay, and I refused to do it. Well, I'm on Facebook now because I'm on a link that I was invited to talk about the spiritual things in life and the sacred things, okay, and teach, because I'm a teacher of the sacred ways of my people and the information that I've had ever since I was a child. So this is a venue, an opportunity for me to really share some of these sacred things and insights, and I want to say the truth of who we really are. So that's how I got on this Facebook, but also there's other parts of the Facebook that doesn't involve this particular link. It's called the 13 Spiritual Grandmothers site, okay? And I'm one of the teachers on that site. But there's other parts of Facebook. So I've noticed recently how people are posting things that are so mundane. So I don't know. Like, for instance, people putting their faces up to see if what they'd look like as a movie star. Okay.
Yeah.
So they have their photograph, and then next to it is a transition of them as a movie star. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes maybe I feel like I'm just too judgmental in this way of what people are doing. I got really frustrated when I first got on those social Facebook, because I was like, there's so much going on in the world. There's people starving, you know, the chemtrails, the water. I mean, there's like so much, and these people are talking about such stupid stuff. I was like, what? But this is it. This is where you have to be careful. There are real things going on, real serious things going on, and people are just caught in the intern. They're interned in the net, and they can't think for themselves, They don't have their discernment ability, and they're just, they want it all to be, like you said, sci-fi or fantasy or fairy stuff or, you know, fairyland. Everything is, oh, everything is lovely, everything is wonderful. Let's not look at the real stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's too difficult, that's too painful. The other part of that is that people are in such a state of feeling hopeless and helpless, they can't seem to get to the point where they can do something, that there are solutions, because they're being told there are no solutions.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
This is what social media does, and this is the elite or the cabal that's basically, you know, changing the public's opinion, you know, through the social network. And then you have fake news, and then you have real news. How do you discern? How does a person discern what is fake news and what is real news when there's somebody there in a suit and a tie or, you know, or a red dress up to her, you know, thighs with high, high heels telling you something that, you know, they're saying this is real. And how does one discern that? And this is what is very important for us today to know. How do we use the tools of discernment? How do we determine how we are being manipulated, engineered, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it? You know, this is really important information for us, because this social media, well, it's not going to go away until they're ready to take it out. It's a deliberate timeline here that we are in, that they are using social media to control us all, control us about climate change, which is false. Control us about chemtrails, which they're saying is, you know, wackadoodle, you know, conspiracy nutcases. To control us about, you know, the wars that are going on. You know, we've got the war on terror, so it's okay what they're doing. Those people over there, they're terrorists, and they're going to come to our shores, and it's foods that you eat. Everything about how you treat your children, it's like every part of our lives, social media has affected us. And this is big because it is worldwide. And I just want to again reflect upon, before technology came, you know, you had your small connected, socializing. It was smaller, and you have, certainly you still had influence on each other, you know, but you weren't subjected to the cabal on that level, right?
Yeah.
On so many levels. But then you have the books. So we had books.
Two things. Stephen Gibbons got a comment in there, I think it was going along with what you were talking about. He said,
yep,
if they can keep us in our survival mode and our basic instincts, food, sex, water, shelter, whatever, I kind of read that wrong, food, water, sex, shelter, it stops us functioning at our higher levels using our conscious expanded mind.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because but here's the piece now. I could say to you, and you may very well agree with me, as Stephen may agree with me, and Chief Charles Two Dog, and I know Patty certainly will, is that guess what? These things, you know, these desires, these desperations, these all of this that Stephen mentioned, are basically being controlled. And people would say, that's crazy. You know, they can't go there. And it's sort of like the illusions that people have been living according to.
Yep.
All right. When you say this is a lie, they can't accept it. They don't know what to do with it. It would shift their perception of things, the whole history of humanity. It would just tear it up and throw it away. How does one deal with that, Shaziz? How does a person who has lived their whole life according to the lies of our history, which I wanted to say, go back to the books. So we had teachers, we had seers, we had, you know, the ones who we call authorities. Without the technology, we still had those people.
Yeah.
And then we had books. So the written word, you know, again, the books, is still a controlling factor. It tells us certain things, and then you have your neighbor or your friend or your whatever say to you, oh, I read the same book, and and yeah, that's, this book is right. And so you say, oh, okay, well, that, what I've read in that book, it's right. When you go to school, you have the history books, okay?
Yeah.
You have the history books with, you have to say, okay, when someone conquers a people, they write the history.
Well,
okay, the way they want it.
Yeah.
So,
when you said that phrase about waking up, it just kind of reminded me, and I'm sure you'll understand exactly what it is that I'm saying because you've been there. But waking up is a real painful process, and not too many people are willing to go through that, question.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, because it does, it just spins you to a place where you don't know what to do because, you know, growing up here in the U.S. of A., you know, as a child and going to Catholic school and the little bit of information that I did start to bring in, I felt, I can remember when I started really feeling that something is not right. Now, this is just, again, instinctual, okay? Patty and I have talked about this. What makes the difference here between you, Shaziz, Chief Charles Two Dog, myself, and Patty, and I'm sure Stephen, what makes the difference between us and those who are still stuck in the net? What is the difference? And so, but I just want to continue just for a second. Hold that thought.
All right.
Okay, so I can remember as a child, and I've said this before because I grew up Catholic and went to church and Catholic school, but I can remember very early feeling, sensing something in the message I was receiving from the nuns specifically was not right. It did not feel right to me, and that was about we are original sinners, okay? We are born with sin, and I didn't have the ability, as we do as we get older, to question that and go further with it. Instead, I felt something was not right with that information, right? So as I got older, of course, I can remember in my older years when I realized that, wait, this history is a lie. When I was in school and went to high school or even earlier than I, being told about the first people from Europe who came here and they met the savages and they, and all this stuff that the savages were doing, the devil worshippers were doing, and how our army, did this or whatever, but the savages did that, and the savages had to go. I felt inside myself something was not right. But I can remember feeling proud to be an American because I was reading and hearing that our country, we were the good people. The people here, our leaders, our governments, our military, we were the good people. Well, when I found out, through research, you have to do your research. You have to want to do the research. But what prompts you to want to do the research? That's another discussion we can talk about. What prompts a person to do the research to, when you read something in a history book and everybody, all the adults are telling you, this is the way it is. What is it inside of you that prompts you to say, well, wait a second, I'm going to check that out. Instead of going along like the puppet, right, or the sheeple. So, but I can remember when I started to see the real truths of what our government has done, not only to us, but to other countries, the wars, the different things, the lies that bring us into wars, and the corporate controlling of our government and of all the people, the bankers, the Federal Reserve, everything across the board that we accepted as okay, just okay, okay, fine, is all manipulating us. So that's all I'm going to say right now.
Well, as strange as this may sound, and as unbelievable as it may sound, I can remember when I was a baby all the way through my entire life, from the time I was, the day I was born, I can remember. I can remember the days whenever I was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years old, and I can remember events during those days. And I've always felt, even at that age, that there was something. It's like the, I don't know why, ironically enough, I was born under the astrological sign Libra, and it's got the scales of justice there, and I always felt like something was off balance.
Right.
You know, when I could tell when things weren't fair, you know.
That's like, right.
And so that's kind of what, I guess, eventually led me down the path to where, you know, I finally had to wake up to reality because I know what I was taught. And
yeah.
Whenever I finally got to the point where I actually had the courage to question, you know, I used to get myself in trouble in even in science class because I would question what science was saying back then. And, you know, I'm asking these questions that the teacher had no answers to. But I could tell something just didn't feel right. It just, everything seemed to be, the scales of justice seemed to be tipped off in the favor of the perceived good guys. Yeah, well, not just the good guys, but the authority figures.
Yes.
Like my teacher, you know, my teacher had the last word on everything. You know, mom, dad had the last word on everything. And, you know, I'd have to ask for permission as a child, you know, maybe go outside and play or something like that. But it always seemed like, you know, I feared authority from the day I was born, you know.
Well,
because
that's the brainwashing. You must not question. Don't question authority, you know.
But I could tell the difference between the fairness and not.
Yeah.
Well, when I finally got to the point where my education and my, I guess the time where I started waking up to the world, when I actually kind of woke up to the world was later, I mean really later on in my years when I started looking at anything, because I had this unfounded trust in authority and the system that everything was going to work its way out and fairness and, you know, good over evil all the time, that kind of thing. But then when I got to the point where I'm starting to see that fairness isn't working out for people, justice is still off of balance after all these years, and I started looking into things, and the more I looked into things, the deeper I went down the rabbit hole, and, you know, here we are today, because I see a serious need out there in this world. And that process of waking up, that was painful, because that made me have to question everything that I ever believed in. Everything that I was ever taught.
Well, there it is right there. But you mentioned feeling. Again, it's feeling. I felt this, I felt that, I feel something didn't feel right. What prompts you to investigate? What prompts you to go deeper? What prompts you to go into those rabbit holes? And then you start learning something. Here's what I learned. I learned that in every thing written, in every statement, in every mainstream media rhetoric, whatever it is across the board, that there is something hidden, that the truth is hidden somewhere in there, and you aren't privy to it because you're in that social engineered place where you might feel something isn't right, but then you're stuck.
Yeah.
And you can't move forward. You don't investigate. You don't step off your couch. You don't step out of the box, because we've been put in boxes, you know. From the time we're little, our parents unknowingly had put us in a box.
Yeah.
And the system deliberately inducted our parents, our grandparents, and ourselves and so on into this mind-controlled social engineering box. And we have these beliefs about ourselves and others, about life, about creation, about everything across the board, is all in this little box that we've been given to stuff ourselves into. And if you, I call us sacred beings, right? And so everything about creation is circular, like the sacred hoop, the bird's nest, the world, everything in this system has a circular motion, right? It's natural. It's the way of creation. So I call us the sacred circles or the sacred hoops. But we were forced to pinch ourselves, twist ourselves like pretzels into a box.
Yeah.
A square rectangular system that is controlling.
And we didn't fit.
In order to survive. Huh?
I said we didn't fit.
Well, we didn't fit, but I tried. I attempted to but it nearly killed me.
Yeah.
Because it went against my true nature. You see, it goes against our true nature, and some of us fight like crazy to get out of it, and we're the outsiders. We're the weird ones. We're the nutcases. We're the conspiracy crazies. And then the other people are still in this box pointing at us, and they're lost. They're in the box.
Yep. And one of the things that makes it worse than that, I don't know if you've noticed this here recently, but if you get on YouTube and you Google up real news or news, just try different random phrases for, you know, alternative news or something like that, you will find that you have all the major label news come up in the search results, but you will have absolutely no alternative news. And there has actually been on YouTube a whole lot of alternative news networks and channels that come out and they question the mainstream narrative. They've been getting their YouTube channels erased, stolen from them. And, you know, regardless of what, you know, these artificial intelligence are out there and they're looking for things, but they have also hired people from what the heck is this doggone liberal group? I can't remember what the name of it is, but they go in there and they will flag videos and stuff, call it hate speech or whatever, and they end up getting copyright strikes on their news channels, their alternative news channels. And then they get booted off of YouTube. Well, just in the last week alone, I've tried to see if I could find some of these alternative media deals. Now, you could still find Alex Jones and some of them that are affiliated with him, but you can't find some of the, like, people, the smaller channels, 5 or 6,000, maybe 10,000, subscribers to their channel, or even some of them that are, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 and some odd thousand. Those channels have been under attack as well. And I have also noticed that those who actually go through the process of maybe getting an attorney to get their channel back because they're protected under free speech, those who actually fight back, they get their channels back. And those who have subscribers who actually, you know, send thousands of emails to YouTube and other social media platforms are actually getting their channels back. So there is a way to fight back to keep the alternative media going. But the thing about it is, if the only choices that you got is ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and all the other main brands of news, then you're at the mercy of the only information you got to work with to find out what the world is really like is those mainstream medias and whatever they're talking about.
Well, those mainstream medias are not independent. They're all corporate-owned by a few elite.
Yeah.
So that's why their news is controlled and engineered.
Yeah.
So you're right about the alternative sites and links and people being taken down and attacked. And this is recently, just within this past few weeks, has accelerated. And why is that? So we are looking at that because these people are being taken down. They're talking about it. They're trying to get themselves back up. And other people are saying, you know, where's this link? It just disappeared, you know? And these are the alternative truthers, I call them. You know, these are the conspiracy realists. And they're being attacked big time right now.
Yeah.
And this is...
It's actually happened to us.
Yes, but this has just happened. This has just happened recently, within the last couple of weeks, that people's, I pulled up a site. Patty threw a link at me yesterday about, some school, I can't remember where it was, it's in this country, some head of this school said that he's banning the children from touching the snow outside, okay? And he had his reasons, which were bizarre, but I couldn't get the full... As soon as I... She couldn't get the link to open. She sent me the link. So I opened up this link and started to hear this pod about this situation when suddenly on my screen, the whole screen was covered with red blinking alarm, and then this voice came on, automated voice, this is a dangerous site, you have to get off, and just warning, and I couldn't get off. I had to turn off my computer. It wouldn't let me click off. It wouldn't let me get out of that site. It was holding me there for a reason.
That's what happened to our site, because my site goes through Weebly, so it means it's under the umbrella of Weebly. When I upload anything to Weebly, not only does my computer scan whatever I'm uploading, but Weebly scans it as well, and they have a secured certificate for their site, but I don't have a secured certificate for my site, so it means that I have to pay Microsoft or the man, you know, in order to say that my site is safe. Well, I've actually had people on my videos, after I've invited them to come over and talk about mad science, say that they can't get on my site because the viruses will tear up their computer. And I keep,
that's right.
I keep telling them, look, that's a lie. I said, there's nothing, there's no viruses or malware on my site. You know?
But this is what they do. Yeah. See, this is the control that they have over the media, where you think this is a free, informative media. It is not, because now, well, we know that the NSA has all this setup of spying on its American citizens, but it goes deeper than that, because it's in through the CIA and so on, FBI, CIA. But what they're doing now is they have the ability to check algorithms, insert algorithms, check algorithms of certain links that you are pulling up, certain information that you are searching, your research, your search engines, and they have labels or tags of what is called high-risk people. And in to them, what high-risk people are people like us.
Yeah.
People like the truthers. So if you are looking at things, you know, just searching things for information, you're tagged by them, and they call you a high-risk. And so Patty was looking at the Q-Chan boards, right? She pulled up the Q-Chan boards, the Anons, to see what was going on, and suddenly all these, you know, alarms went off, the same thing. And the day that happened, her computer crashed. And she couldn't get on. She was so frustrated. It was acting weird, you know, it was just not reacting normally.
Yeah,
and it took her a couple of days, and that's why she wasn't on last week. She was really so frustrated, tearing her hair out because of this. And then on Facebook, this guy, David Johnson, who has been talking about the maritime laws, the corrupt government. I mean, he's been throwing all this stuff out on Facebook for, you know, quite a while now. I noticed he was missing. And then the other day, I pulled up Facebook, and he's on, and he goes, yay, in capital letters, yay, I got my computer back. So he was taken down. So this is what's happening. Something is going on here. It is a big attack upon the alternative, on truthers, on people who are speaking the truth and doing this investigation and this research. The cabal, the elite, are totally controlling this, you know, this media that we are using for good, and that does have good things and can reach people throughout the whole world and does have truth within it, and they are taking down all these people and these sites and feeding us, you know, false information and so on. So, but what's going to happen here? I want to go to how we all rely on this technology. Okay?
Yeah.
We have been interned into this net. You know, so we are basically hooked in. Everything that we rely on depends on this technology. So think about what would happen, and I think they're leading us here. They're giving us information. It's right here in your face. What is going to happen to our world when all this is taken down? First, it's going to be completely controlled, which they are working to do. And then how it's gone.
It's a trap.
It is internment.
Yep.
When you are interned, you're dead, basically. It's like the zombie world, right?
Yep.
That's so this is where I'm going, because we see these things spiking up. Something is happening here, really big time. And also, the distractions are huge to keep people focused and away from what is really going on in the world.
Yeah, one of the things that really disturbs me a lot is that people are actually using the system itself as a weapon to force other people to comply with there's a difference between like social rights or whatever, civil rights and stuff like that, and actually trying to force somebody into accepting something that they don't agree with. If you understand what I'm trying to say, there are people out there who actually try to use the government as an enforcer arm to get further their agenda. You know, like the whole gay rights agenda. You know, if somebody wants to be gay, that's their own personal life. But to utilize the government and actually have the government, you know, helping along with the deal, to quite literally force somebody into complying with, you know, a lifestyle they may or may not agree with, you know, to me, that's a dangerous thing. You know, it's like, you know, the whole separation of church and state argument or debate or whatever, you know. You know, you don't want to have God on the government or in school or anything like that. So that's one of the things that they have a fight over, or the abortion issue, whether or not somebody believes somebody or that it's a life at this point or that point, that it's okay to kill, you know, babies at this point, but no, not after this point or whatever. It's like, I don't know.
If people knew the extent of the manipulation of our lives, they would be blown away. There's that word again.
Yeah, it feels like a Twilight Zone.
It is a Twilight Zone. I was watching this video on this woman who's a truther, and she had pulled up this. She has this. I guess I don't know what it is, because it's a technology that I'm not familiar with. But you can ask this ask questions. It's like we type to Google, we ask a question, and all this information comes up, right? Or you go to Wikipedia, yeah, and you blah blah blah. Well, this is a voice. This is done by a artificial intelligent voice, right? So you ask verbally out loud. Okay, she was doing this. She said, "Who is Buddha?" And this voice would come back and give all this information on Buddha. And she said, "Who is Jesus?" And the response was, "I'm sorry, I can't help you there."
One of them said fictional character.
Well, then she went on to ask about others, you know, "Who is Muhammad?" And the activator said all of this information about Muhammad. She tried again. She said, "Who is Jesus?" Again, the voice response was, "I'm sorry, I can't help you there." This is creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, there is a control factor here about, you know, the whole take down and destroy the peace that there is a creator. But Muhammad, and you can't talk, what do they call it, politically incorrect if you say anything against Islam or so on and so forth, or Israel. You know, I mean, this is like so broad, this control. But this is what's happening.
Well, yeah, and it's really, it should be a red flag to anybody, because we're, like, on one hand they were saying separation of church and state, but on the other hand they were actually having allowed classes in there to teach people about Islam. You know, to little grade school kids learning about Islam in school.
This is called. You can Google this. You can research this, people, if you really want to know what's going on. If you want to test us, you know, our truth here, you can Google the Islamization of America.
Yep.
You'll see. It's shocking. And we know there is a prophecy about one world religion.
Yeah.
Okay? So how does that play into what is what is happening now with all this influx of immigrants and the deliberate war that was set to push these people out of that country, because it is a deliberate war. ISIS is a deliberate war set up by the United States and other factors, the CIA. You have all this information. I mean, we might sound like a bunch of nutcases here, but if you feel that, do your research.
But it's true, because if you actually look what's going on over Europe, it's not a bunch of women and children trying to escape a war zone. It's young, fighting age men that are showing up over there. And once they get there, they can't blend in with society, and they cause a lot of problems. And
well, no, they're deliberately the... So here's the thing. Again, politically incorrect. Now, I'm not saying all people who practice that religion are bad people. That's not what we're saying. Okay? We could say, well, all Christians, you know, follow the beliefs of those who created genocide in the early days, who killed women because they, you know, said they were witches, who, you know, the Crusades, where millions of people were slaughtered, and on and on and on. But we're not saying all Christian people are like that.
No.
You know, so we're not saying the people who practice this religion of Islam, but there are extreme in all areas. You know, when you say God told me that those people that practice this behavior are evil and they're going to go to hell, did God really say that? Would God say that? I mean, I don't know. I can't say, like, people who claim, you know, if you don't follow Jesus, you're doomed. I mean, I don't know that. I just know to be a good person, you know, is the key here. The words of Yeshua, I'm going to say the real name here, Yeshua, because that was his real name, spoke 10 commandments.
Yep.
These are the key pieces that we were given to live by. And guess what? The peacemaker said the same thing. The white buffalo calf woman, also the same thing. The feathered serpent, Kanko Khan, Viracocha, all these holy beings, Buddha, all these people who came, carried the same commandments. They brought the same words, the same teachings. You know? So, I'm just saying that what is going on with the takedown of your belief in a divine being, this is happening, and we see it across the board. You know, you're not allowed to pray or say whatever a prayer in schools. That's banned now, but now they're teaching, you know, Islam. You know, the prayers of Islam and the beliefs in Islam and Muhammad and all that stuff. And you know that man, Muhammad, who brought the way of Islam to the people, in his writings, he spoke himself and said that he believes that he is possessed by something evil.
Well, now, that ought to be a red flag.
Well, I'd say that. Look, I don't know. I just think people need to do their research. Something really big is happening. We're being pushed. We're being funneled. We're being channeled into this final piece that the, you know, One World Order, the Cabal, and Lucifer, from the beginning, has set up against the sacred, everything that is sacred. Because those are the two pieces you have to look at. Because my question is, who is it that would want to destroy this sacred earth, the water, pollute the water, destroy our foods, and hurt our children, and vaccines, and fluorides, and who is it?
Well,
you say, well, it's the Bilderbergs. Well, it's the Illuminati. Well, it's the rich people. Well, it's the elite. Yes, but there's something leading them. There's something that controls these people.
Well,
and that's where
darkness.
I realize that that is the darkest, most evil entity. We have a name for it. Okay, now, go to free will. Well, we all have an opportunity to choose to be good people, kind people, loving people, or hateful people, destructive people, greedy people. That's free will. Okay, so, but what gives us this information? Who is it that leads us either way down the road of light or the road of darkness. So we do have free will, and I'm not saying so, but there is something. There is something that feeds us information. There is something that tempts us. There is something that leads us. There is something that controls us. And that's, okay, I know I've been talking a long time. And
one of the things that they, one of the biggest tools that they use is to play in on people's emotions, just like what they were talking about in the, that pod was talking about the dopamine hit. Well, there's also an adverse side of that story as well, is that you can play on people's emotions by, you know, getting them angry or talking about certain, you know, lack of civil rights or this one particular group's being treated poorly. And, you know, it don't matter which race you're from. If you hear that somebody else is being treated poorly, you're automatically upset about that because you're into fairness and you want to get along with everybody. That's the majority of the people. But the mainstream media has the monopoly on the information flow, and everything that they tell everybody comes from a negative point of view, a skewed side to further an agenda. And then when the social justice warriors out there hear that somebody's being mistreated, well, suddenly they take to the streets and start protesting the people. But the hypocrisy is they actually want to utilize the government to get everyone else to conform to their way of thinking, as opposed to, you know, like you and I, we bring our faiths together and we lead by example. We shine our light and you know, we can understand one another. These want to go out there, they want to tear up society, they want to get attention, and they want to use the government as an enforcement arm in order to get somebody else to submit, which in turn gets that other side angry, and they want to retaliate with their point of view, and so now you've got all these mass protests in the streets. I mean, right now, people don't like Trump. Okay, that's, you know, their own personal deal. But there's a reason why they don't like Trump, is because of every bit of information that was told, whether it be valid or invalid, that nonetheless the mainstream media, you know, they control the narrative. And what they should be thinking about right now is, okay, I don't like this guy. I don't trust this guy. And so I'm going to keep my eye on this guy at every turn. But since he's supposedly our president, we have to support him in order to ensure that we get this country down the road. That's on the patriot side of the view. But if you can actually step back long enough, you can see the, you know, like the George Soros tactics or the Jerry Springer tactics, where they're constantly putting out information, even in social media. And when social media started overwhelming the propaganda, then that's when we started seeing the social media sites being attacked. And now if you go on YouTube and you search up news, the only ones that will come up under the term real news or whatever is all the main labels, all the corporate-owned news agencies, and anybody else who's like a average Joe who watches the news and does any commentary on it and gives their side of the story or their view or whatever, or shares their research, those are basically by the AI and whoever Southern Poverty Law Center is what they call themselves. They are being censored. That information's being censored by these organizations and that artificial intelligence, and actually pushing them out the doggone door. And so at some point, you don't have access to both sides of the story or even opposing views, and you're only getting one side of the story. You can't make a conscious decision to, you know, decide what to do, or where to vote now, all that kind of stuff. And so this issue... Go ahead.
Let me explain this deal. I heard this, you know, about Trump. Let's just say, a lot of what I've said in the time I've been jumped on a lot, you know, by other people, because I don't like a guy. I definitely don't like it. Okay, and most of the stuff I've ever said has come out of his own mouth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. The stuff that I say about what he said it comes from his own mouth. It doesn't come from me.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. I can recognize that kind of news when you got a video where this man's actually saying things, and that's one thing. But on the other side of the spectrum, we got to be extra cautious in this day and age to discern that information. He may be the worst character on the planet. But if we don't have that, kind of like you got the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government for a purpose. That's the separation of powers. Well, there's also a separation of powers in the types of media, like the difference between conservative and the difference between liberal media. Well, even that and the alternative media. If you don't have the separation of powers between media, then you got one side propagandizing and the other side potentially propagandizing, and you don't have no third outside view that's saying, look, you know, they're lying and they're lying. Both sides of these doggone...
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we need to be careful of. I can understand what Trump said is definitely concerning. But once again, we still got to be vigilant and... Why?
You got a leader, and he says that he loves war, and why do we have nuclear weapons if we ain't going to use them? You know, it's not.
Yeah, but two dog. This is the thing that you know, and I accept part of that that you said that you've been jumped on before, because I've been one that jumps, but you keep missing the message that. I've been trying to get across, and that is, your Trump bashing is no different from the left, the Democrats bashing. It's all part of the game. It's all part of the illusion. It's all part of the stirring of the pot. And it doesn't affect change anywhere other than to make people, go at each other. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. We know, I mean, Trump is the president of the United States, right? Okay, this guy is no different from any other president of the United States. If he was, it won't last anyway. The thing of it is that when we use these puppets to say, this is what is wrong with the whole nation, this is what is wrong with this presidency, this is what is wrong, we're lying to ourselves. We're not changing a thing. We're just inciting more anger toward the other, toward this guy, toward that guy, when we're the ones that are supposed to be coming together. We're the ones that are supposed to be seeing through all of this, you know? That's where the angst is that spending so much time throwing dispersions at this one freaking guy in government as if it's all his fault and he's just a puppet. Let's forget about that idiot. Let's forget about all the idiots that are up in office.
Yep,
all the ones that have ever been and all the ones that are ever going to be. And let's start doing something real.
Yeah, these people out there that are actually using the government as an enforcer arm to enforce their ideas,
ideology.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, if you want to speak truth, you have to include all of the people. You have to include the elite. You have to include all of these puppets, the presidents, Obama, Clinton. You have to include all of them. The Bushes, Cheney, Rice. You have to include. You just can't say, this person, okay, we're annoyed and it's disturbing and upsetting because he happens to be our president in this day. Okay, but like Patty says, okay, let's not incite any more frustration and anger. Let's name it all. The truth, the whole bunch has been corrupt.
Yeah, put them all under the microscope.
Beyond our imagining, and let's not incite people and separate the people ourselves. Let's be part of the solution. And if you want to speak truth, you have to include everyone. It's not just Trump. Trump is a puppet, just like Bush was, just like Cheney, just like Obama. Now we're finding out the dirty deeds that Mr. Obama has done that shocks people, and they can't go there because he's the, you know, the darling of the whatevers, you know, as Clinton and so on. We know this truth, and if we know the truth, we have to speak truth. We can't just pick out one person and say they're the bad guys, because they're all corrupt.
Yeah.
This is the problem we're dealing with that is now, and you know, the interesting thing about Trump is that Trump spoke truth about the corrupt government. Okay, like he was pointing a finger at them, at the others, and he was going to save everybody. He's going to make America great again. Well, we know that America was not great for many.
And he's not going to make it great.
And he's but not going to make it great.
That's not the point. The point is, like you were saying, Barb, we have this one chance right now to where we can actually come together again. They split us up. They used Trump as a wedge, and he worked perfectly.
Exactly.
He split us to the point now to where we hate each other.
Yeah, He said everything that everyone needed to hear and was elected, such as when he went against the mainstream media. I was a happy camper because the mainstream media has been propagandizing everybody. And I don't want half truths. I want the whole truth. I want to hear what CNN's got to say. I want to hear what Fox has to say. I don't trust either one of these entities. But I want to hear what they both have to say. And I want to hear facts from alternative media so that, you know, it's like a court. When you go to court and you got your 12 jurors out there, supposedly 12 of your peers out there and deciding on the facts, a lot of people don't understand that when you go to court, some of the facts that would make your decision easier are not allowed in court. For some technical reason, some of the facts got blocked out of court. You're not allowed to hear these. And this one particular fact, which may have changed your mind whether to say guilty or not guilty, you're not allowed to hear it. And so if you're not allowed to hear it and you make a decision from that point on, knowing that there was any kind of evidence that could have showed that this person may not have been guilty, you can't make a conscious decision to say guilty or not guilty. If you got honesty in your heart and you are there to get the truth, you have to have all the facts on the table. Every single thing about every single bit of information that you're using to prosecute this particular individual for whatever perceived or suspected crime. If I go to a jury trial and I know that somehow or another there's potential information that the prosecutor or even the defense for that matter, or even potentially the judge themselves, wasn't allowing this information, this evidence into the court, then how can I sit there as a juror and claim to be truthful and honest and fair to a person when I know that there is a potential that they have excluded any evidence because of a technicality or, you know, whatever? And so now I can't make an honest decision to say, yeah, this guy I believe is guilty, and so that's my verdict. I can't do that. You see what
you're
I mean?
You're talking about a corrupt judicial system that has put many, many people in prison.
And it's no good.
Well, let's face it, the whole system. There's nothing correct about the system. Any system, any governmental system. There's nothing correct there. We are the slaves. We are the ones controlled. The ones that are in these systems, that run these systems, that man these systems, these governments, they don't work for us. They don't care. The only thing they need us for is what they're doing to us right now.
Here's one of the things I was actually just thinking. I was just thinking this yesterday. Okay, I listened to John Trudell, and John Trudell once said, you have Democrat, you got Republican. You don't have a choice. There is no choice.
That's right.
And you don't have
Democrat.
And if
you think about it, let me say this, if you think about it, Democrat, Republican, they're both snakes. Okay? They're both a snake. It's like a politician. He walks up to you, he tells you what you want to hear, then when you vote for him, he does what he wants. If you're a politician, you definitely lie. That's the first thing you learn how to do.
To prove what Two Dog just said is the fact that if you go back and you think about every single election cycle, there are other parties out there, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, but you will notice that both liberal side and conservative side on those two sides of the same coin actually come out there and verbally attack the Libertarian Party and other ones, and so, you know, everybody gets to the point where, like, yeah, I'd like to see a third party candidate win, however, their chances of winning because of what's being said on the news are slim to none, and so I gotta take and make a choice between the lesser of what I perceive to be two evils, and so there you go. What Two Dog just said is how they're able to stay in power. It don't matter whether it's the Democrats in power or the Republicans in power. You're getting the same old incremental stripping away of your God-given rights, your civil rights, your constitutional rights, or whatever.
Yes. You want to know how good they are? You know what? Want to know how good they are about doing this stuff? Look at this for the last how much time have we spent on government here, when all of us on this panel know that the government is a lie. It is the lie that we are being run and corralled by the lie, and we're discussing the lie.
Yep.
Instead of discussing the solutions, getting out of this lie and coming together. This is what I'm saying. As long as we keep thinking that there is somebody up there sitting in a freaking Oval Office that is responsible for my happiness, that is responsible for my freedoms and my rights, we will never have any of that.
Yep.
We'll just have more arguments.
Stephen,
you know? I mean, if you think about it, you got an official that goes to other nations saying they speak for the people, and we'll go to war if you don't do this, and we speak for the American people. Well, nobody spoke. I didn't speak about going to war about nothing.
I didn't either. Stephen Gibbons said,
"I speak for myself."
Yep. Stephen Gibbons said in the chat room, he said, "It's like a bully in the schoolyard who asked with which hand you want to be punched off the left or the right."
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, it's like a game, okay?
And it is a game.
It's a game. It's like a gangland, okay?
One side
says something and this side says something. Okay, we'll just show our colors and we'll go to play.
You know, the thing is that I think is this true that Donald Trump was a Democrat?
At one point, I heard he was.
And so you have these people who switch back and forth basically for their own, you know, gain. So these parties mean nothing. That's just the game. A set of parties so people think that they have a choice. But we don't have a choice.
Well, and that's why I say it's a trap, because just what we're seeing out there in social media and the mention what I saw talk about earlier about how you actually have people who are, they call themselves social justice warriors, but in reality, if they ever get what it is that they're fighting for, I don't believe they're going to like this world, especially on the subject of gun control. For example, you know, right now they're saying, well, we gotta ban this type of gun and that type of gun, and we gotta get everything, you know, guns out of the hands of the people. Well, here's the problem with that. If you ever get the guns out of the hands of the people, and now all you have to do is rely on the government itself to be your defender, government has a stinky track record. And as far as the people out there, when you get to the point where you decide you're going to disarm the entirety of the United States of America, you really need to step back and look at the big picture, because it's not going to play out the way that you hoped it would. And as miserable as you may think life is right now, it would be 1,000 times or even more worse the day that the military shows up on some redneck's door and says, I'm taking your guns, and then all heck breaks loose. Because if you take a factor in, one of the reasons why some of the foreign generals said that they would never attack America, you know, because behind every blade of grass there'd be a gun. Well, you got all kinds of organizations out there. You got skinheads, you got rednecks, you got farmers, you got bikers, you got Crips, you got Bloods, you got all these different kinds of gangs, and even the law enforcement themselves, plus the military, some of which who would turn against the people and some of which who would not turn against the people. And so what you would end up having would be the worst type of bloody civil war here in the United States that the United States could never recover from. And during that
time... Which is what we're moving toward.
Yeah. And during that time, all these social justice warriors who are out there protesting against the police and protesting against guns and stuff like that, they will quite literally be begging for the police. They will be begging for guns. They will be begging for protection. And the whole doggone time, they were setting themselves up. They were entrapping themselves in a situation to where now the government has the last say of whether or not people who are gay gets rights or not, or people who are religious get to read their book or not. The government has the last say. And the whole idea of social justice and thinking that communism is going to be the way to go, well, if you look back through history, it really didn't fare well for a whole lot of people who fell underneath a dictatorship. And if you don't have those checks and balances, once again, between the executive, legislative, judicial branch of government, every brand of media, if anybody has a monopoly on power from any one of these doggone deals, or even the president himself makes himself a dictator, and you just have to go know your place and shut your face, that's not the world the social justice warriors are hoping for. They're hoping.
Yeah, he's already talking that.
Yeah.
But anyway,
they're hoping.
Anyway, let me explain.
Go ahead.
Let me explain one thing. I was on the internet radio, just listening, you know, and that was a man talking. And what he actually did say is, "Thank you, Vladimir Putin, for actually putting this man into office to make sure the white race survives."
Here we go again.
But what I'm saying is, this is just how. What I'm saying is, this is how people are talking and dividing people. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's false news, and that's inciting, just like you're saying. That is the means of how we were talking in the beginning, social engineering.
Yep.
Yeah.
What does saying that statement provide in a positive way to the people that might
I
be
think
listening?
That I know of.
Right. So we don't say the things that we know are going to incite, because we know that that's what harms us. That's the weapons being used against us. They're using us against us. We're policing ourselves. That's what we've got to get away from. We've got to start forgetting that there's anything in the government that could possibly ever help us, that it doesn't matter what one puppet says or the other puppet says. They're all working together to harm us, people.
Can I make a point and then give you guys the show for a minute? When I hear things like what it talks about, how the term white people, all right? Well, in my body, I get a physical reaction when I hear people talk about, you know, white people. It's like, you know, he's there to save the lives of the white people. Now, I know that Two Dog Net doesn't mean any harm by that or anything like that, but even when I hear...
No.
Even when I hear somebody say something about, you know, another race, and they mention like the black people or something like that, and I know where the terminology and the propaganda actually originated from, but me personally, just me, this is old Shaziz here. No, in my heart, I get a sinking feeling, because I actually know my heart, and I know that I love people. I don't. I don't look at them for their color, or I don't look at them for their beliefs. I just do like Martin Luther King. Judge somebody by their character, you know, the way that they... Exactly what you've been saying. But to show how powerful that media and the social engineering and the propaganda is, I'm saying from my own personal heart, whenever I hear something, and suddenly in my heart, I got the sinking feeling, and I feel the need, I got to come out and I got to defend my faith. You know, I tell everybody I'm a Christian, and I explain to them why I say that I'm a Christian, or, you know, that, you know, I'm basically by skin color, I guess I would be perceived to be white, but my actual heritage is a mixture of all kinds of. I got French Canadian and Cherokee and who knows what else. And so, you know, I'm really kind of in the middle of a battle between, you know, history, what this person did to that person, but it's me that's responsible for me, if that makes any sense. You see what I'm saying? And so my heart sinks whenever I think that, you know, somebody think that because I'm white that I probably have a prejudice against somebody else. Now, if my actions show that I'm prejudicial against somebody, then I expect fully to be held accountable for the words that come out of my mouth. You see where I'm trying to go here? Anybody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man.
Listen,
that's what I try to do, too. You know,
I'd like to get back to our social engineering because this.
I want to say hi to Luca real fast. Hey, Luca.
Well, good morning to all. How are you doing? And speaking of social engineering, I do have a gem to share with you guys when it's my turn. Good to hear from you, Shaziz. It's been a while.
Welcome.
Never been on your show yet, but it's an honor to be here and hearing the same words that I feel echoed across cyberspace.
Well, brother, you're in a good spot.
Okay, Barb, take it.
Okay, so, yeah, talking about social engineering, and we were talking about the attack on persons of high risk. Okay, so I just checked it. I'm just looking at the round at things, and I see this Nunes. Here's what Nunes calls Colbert, you know, the comedian. A danger in this country, okay, because I guess Colbert jokes about Nunes, you know, he's a comedian, right, so he jokes about everybody, and
yeah,
so on, but now you have Nunes here saying pretty much that Colbert, this comedian, is a danger in this country, and that's what we were talking about, this social engineering of people's minds and their thoughts and beliefs, right?
Yes.
And there's a perfect example that just shows us how deep this goes. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to point that out about how now, if you didn't know, or if you were just being, you know, manipulated and the puppets and so on, you know, you would be like, wow, Nunes calls this Colbert, he's a danger. Oh my God, he's exactly.
And you have knowledge on top of that, and those... You know, during the genocidal times of the Indian in this country, the original people, it keeps going, but in different ways. But the people that are the most dangerous are those with the most knowledge, like the elders, the traditional elders. They're really the biggest problem. As you say, informed people are in what's going on. Those are the people that are going to be dropping like flies.
Well, here's the deal, is that knowledge... Across the board, it doesn't matter where it's coming from, the populace, the people, in what venue it's coming from, in what class, or in whatever, the truth and knowledge are being systematically erased. We are being taught that we are to accept whatever is spouted out by whoever is in power. And that any logic, any reason, any reality of truth is not acceptable if it does not pair with the government system's outlook and what we should be thinking and doing. The books, they're banning books. How many times have we read this? books that were written 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or more than that. We know that they are socially engineering us into a point of total control. And why are we sitting here buying into it and saying that, oh, those guys over there, look at the signs they're carrying, they're wrong. Look at these guys over here, look who they voted for, they're wrong. Look at the church them guys go to, they're wrong. They're doing it to us.
Hey, Patty.
And we're the ones that are doing it, taking it on as our own mantle and walking with it. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? We mentioned earlier about artificial intelligence, and I actually told a story about how they had like a super prison in the future that the computer AI is actually making the decisions. And so my question would be, what would you think about if it got to the point where we didn't actually have presidents anymore, where the actual artificial intelligence, the presidents themselves, were computers, and they were making the decisions now? You see what I mean?
Well, yeah. You're absolutely right. They're working on that.
Yeah. And so now you don't have any person that you can point the finger at and say, yo, well, these guys are bad and those guys are bad. Now it's this artificial intelligence who's quite literally doing what it believes will be your best interest.
That's happening now with the algorithms online, too. That's what's happening right now. AI is the one, these algorithms that have been programmed are the ones that are kicking off people who are saying the wrong things.
Yeah.
That are speaking the truth. That's what's happening now.
I was thinking that, Shaziz, man, just a couple of days ago, and let me go with what I was thinking here. If we know that the Democrat and the Republican are both snakes and they're going to lie to you anyway, I was thinking, what if everybody in this country, everybody, just said, you know, we're being lied to anyway, and just stop voting. What would happen then?
Well, who knows? The AI might take over and declare itself to be.
Here's what was stated. The late Russell Means stated this. And what he stated was, whether you live on Pine Ridge Reservation or Chicago, Illinois, it doesn't matter. Welcome to the reservation.
That's what I feel like we're all on there. Seriously, it's a trap.
And this is, if I may jump in, Two Dog, this is exactly what I was posting this morning. Headlines on CBC New Brunswick, pickup truck implicated in fatal hit and run of Brady Francis, released by RCMP. This is exactly, you know, what we're seeing all the time. Patty and Barbara are talking about social engineering. I'm not too keen on AI because I'm trying to stay on Earth for the time being and focus on what's going on. But this is exactly what Einstein said too about voting. He said that if it worked, it would be, they'd find a way to make it illegal to vote. This is just a front because everybody's selected by the big guys who run the world. Yep. And we don't have any choice, supposedly. And it's time for people to really wake up and smell the roses, you know?
Yeah, that's
right. No one may pass without their permission.
That's why I believe that this show that we're doing and all these shows that we do are so important, because right now, you know, if people could ever grasp what it means when we say that the words are powerful, that you have more power than you can possibly imagine, those words, they make a difference. You know, when I said that there were certain alternative media networks that got taken down because they didn't have politically correct words to say, or they might have said something that was censored and the AI just shut them off, and they, after a review of a pretty much biased system, they were kicked off anyway. But when it comes down to that, you ain't got no choice of what to say. And if that, if right now we actually have the freedom to this point to put out both sides of the picture, to put out the whole story instead of portions of it that fit any specific agenda, which here on the Shaziz Radio, our only agenda is to try to inform people out there that they do have power. 50,000 people sent a message to YouTube, and the actual YouTube dude got himself an attorney, and it made a difference. So we actually got a kind of, you know, fight using the same dang system that's so corrupt it ain't even funny, but we got, that's our only tool at this point, besides the power of the spoken word that we actually have access to. You know, in public we got our actions. That's another one of our powers, that you can lead by example. But when you're talking about words, whether they be written words or spoken words, words have meanings. When I talked about when Two Dog was trying to tell a story there about something, how I actually got a physical reaction in my body with certain key words.
Yeah, energy, man.
Yeah,
that's absolutely what we're talking about. This is why we here on this panel and others who sit on these panels who have a goal to bring out the truth and solutions, we have to be very careful of what we are speaking about.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful about the energy that we are throwing out. This is really important. We have to wake up to what is really going on with the frequencies and the energies, because this is everything in the world and creation runs on energy and frequencies, and words have power, and they can either, you know, harm someone or assault someone or make someone sick or affect people, and we're in positions to do that here. When you spew out something on a talk radio, your words have a power, so you have to be very, very careful of what you are claiming, what your statements are, and so on, because we're in a position to either do harm or create harmony and balance. Speak truth and not do harm.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons I said what I said, because this is coming over the internet radio, guys, and that's just messed up.
Yeah.
Well, this is what we have to think about, too. When we speak, is what we're talking, what we're saying actually providing information that can be usable?
Yeah.
You know, so much is going on right now. We have some bad stuff coming down that is affecting the people worldwide. These are things that are not sequestered to any certain country. These are things that are across the board. Our health is being eroded on a massive, massive, massive scale. Children are being born with cancers. We have a food system that is engineering our food. We have a science system that is engineering our DNA. We have all of these things that are affecting us every single day. The food we eat, the air we breathe, the soil that we try to grow our crops in. All of these things are important issues. Where are they being talked about? The thing that's being talked about everywhere is this frickin' political system.
Yeah.
You know? Let's argue about the puppets, and that way none of this stuff will even be put out there. They win when we concentrate all our effort and our energy on them instead of on the truth of what is really affecting us. Free energy is so important. All of these things are so important, but they've gone to the wayside since 2016.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a quick point and then give it back to you guys. Here on the Shaziz Radio Network, every so often you might hear somebody throw out an S-bomb or, you know, maybe even worse, hopefully not. But here's a really big key that I'm trying to get to everybody out here. We try, because we know how powerful words are, we try to be respectful in the language that we use, even though I'm not into censorship. I don't believe in censorship. I believe that everybody needs to be able to speak their truth however they feel like it needs to be spoken. But we're trying to reach so many different people of so many different diversities that we want to use language that's not going to, you know, I hesitate to use the word offensive, because that's another one of the basically divide and conquer. Everything's offensive, everything's hate speech or anything like that. But if I'm going to reach the ear of another person out there that maybe needs to hear the message that one of these fine individuals, Lucas or Barbara or Patty or Two Dog, is going to say on here, I don't want to take my words and chase them out of the chat room or off the radio. I want them to be able to get that message that's being delivered to them. So I want to do it in the most respectful manner, because I know that words have power. I mean, I can get out here and I can get really angry and I can drop the F-bomb and everything else under the sun to try to emphasize my anger, but I think that with the proper use of my words, I can get my point across in a respectful manner that is, if it makes any sense to anybody besides me, hearable by everybody. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
I'm going to say I agree with you, and I feel like, I don't know, I was looking around on for some links of interest, and I found one that I thought was of interest, and actually this guy did have interesting things to say, but he, every other word was a foul word, and I finally just had to drop off, because every time that, these are energies we're talking about. I'm not a prude at all.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I think there's a part of the deliberation. I remember when the F word started being used in social media, like movies, comedians, whatever. I remember that nobody ever spoke these foul words. And then it all started. It was like a wave. Now everybody thinks they can just throw the F-bomb everywhere they want or whatever else bomb, you know, and think that this is cool or this is okay. Now I'm a free person. I can throw this crap out at anybody or any way. It makes me look a certain way. I don't know what it makes people, what they think it makes them look like. But it's not, so if you are wise, if you are awakened, if you have a conscious connectedness to things, to the sacredness, to the divine, and know and understand the power we have, the use of words, you would not be doing this. Because when you start throwing that stuff around, it is not from a higher source.
Yeah, and there's one other thing about that, is that if you've ever paid attention out there, way back in time, the B word wasn't a very good thing to call a lady, all right? And social media and the way that everything's been readjusted, socially engineered, is now some women are proud to come out and call themselves the B word. In my case, that
word.
Yeah.
Or the C word. I mean, we're talking about, okay, so we're talking about this wave of energies that are now being spewed out by people, the N word, the C word, the B word, the F word. We're talking about this, you know, where you have today, and you reminded me of women calling each other the B word and so on, which is supposed to be cool, or whatever. And then you have, I have to say it, these women running around in these protests wearing a vagina on their hat, men wearing a vagina on their hat, women wearing a whole body knitted vagina. And, you know, I remember when it was difficult to say the word vagina because everybody would go, oh, my God, you know, oh, my God, they said vagina. You know, so this is like, hey, this is part of our anatomy, you know, like breasts are and so on. But there's a way basically to make a point without being energetically disruptive or corruptive or harmful. And this is what I think we have to become more aware of. And I have to say, I have to be really, 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 really angry before I may use, you know, pissed off or excuse me, that word or, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Barbara. Don't you think that part of the trap is to actually get people that, you know, call themselves world's greatest bee or whatever, you know.
Yes.
Don't you think the part of that...
I agree with you.
To basically get each individual to quite literally belittle themselves. Otherwise, if somebody else said it, they would be offended.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that because, yes, it's sort of like what you believe, you create. We are manifestors. What we believe, how we speak... Our everything about us, we are manifesting continually. So, you know, if you start calling yourself, well, if you say, for instance, if, you know, I work with people who are diagnosed with cancer, And one of the things that is so important is to really make sure you don't latch on to the I'm going to die thing, you know.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that you may not, but I'm saying if you want to help yourself and heal your body and your immune system, so whatever you speak about, your mind is, imprints into the immune system or the hypothalamus that goes through the system. And the immune system responds, okay? Responds to many things, as do our cells, our cellular memory, the whole aspect of ourselves. Like you said, Shaziz, when Two Dog was saying something, you actually felt this. You viscerally, physically, emotionally felt the impact of those words. So if you are ill, you know, with something, whatever you say to your body, it takes on, this is real. It doesn't discern, no, that's fake or that's false. It just responds and reacts, and your cells absorb, you know, what it is that you are speaking about or believing in. So this is very key, what you just said, because yes, so let's say that, again, are we really going down the road of nutcases saying that there is a conspiracy to get us all to say nasty things about ourselves, making it a joke or humorous now, or that we're a powerful person because I can call myself or my girlfriends a bee, you know?
Well, also, I knew Two Dog's intentions, and I knew that he wasn't, meaning any...
I got you.
But
no, I know.
What if I didn't know his intentions? You see what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
The only thing I was stating is what the guy was saying on the radio, which was crazy.
But vicariously, that guy, his words that he said on the radio, and you're just trying to point what his words were saying out, but that actually, his secondhand words gave me that physical effect in my gut. And see,
it wasn't me saying.
Yeah.
It was me reporting what he said.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. But if I had no knowledge of your intentions on, you know, to say
that would have been really bad for you.
Yeah.
So, all right. Look, but this is what we're talking about. We are speaking here to the world, hopefully,
yeah.
And the world is listening. And there are people that may not know you, Chief Charles Two Dog. There are people that may not know me or Shaziz or Patty or Luca, but we have to be, as we are messengers, we have to be aware of the message that we are speaking about. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't share the wrongs or the corruptions that others, you know, the ones that we are talking about that are doing harm, but how do we give this information out without inciting an emotional reaction or, you know, and that's hard because what we're talking about what's going on in the world, this is not easy and it is going to affect people. That's why we always bring in solutions.
Yeah, that's right. That's how to get out of the trap. that's the whole key.
Yeah,
getting
because
out of
anybody,
that trap.
Anybody that has ever heard me at all, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, we, as far as the human being, we are all the human being, we are all related.
Yeah, we know that. We love you for it.
As far as color, I put that aside. It has nothing to do with it.
We know that.
It has something to do with the human being.
Is everybody out there listening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I only have a few minutes. Because I have stuff to do before my presentation that I have to do.
Go ahead, Lucas.
As well, and I'm hoping to join Patty and Barb later on, and Two Dog as well. Can I just address something really quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Lucas.
It was so cool. I was taking notes while everybody was talking, and sure enough, every single one of you addressed every single one of my notes that I had. Because this show is so freaking amazing. I just wanted to say what an honor it is, first of all. Somebody was talking about books that were being
burned,
not allowed anymore. Well, guess what? False flag 9/11. How Bush, Cheney, and the Saudis created post-world 9/11 by Phil Marshall. Once you start investigating Phil Marshall, you end up finding out that he was a lot like Barry Seal. Next book I have here, Oliver Stone says it's an amazing, a fascinating, and important history well told. It's called The Convenient Terrorist. Amazon sells it. Two whistleblowers tell the story of torture, terror, secret wars, and CIA lies. written by Joseph Hickman and John Kiriakou. You research them, you find out that one of them had to disappear because he had his life threatened by the CIA, as did Susan Lindauer, who's incredible, who has a book out called Extreme Prejudice. Her terrifying story personally of the Patriot Act and what happened to her and the cover-ups of subsequent 9/11 and Iraq. It's a fascinating book. I have yet to get into it. But to basically generalize what I'd like to say, my grandmother told me one time, she said, imagine what it would be like if you only had a certain amount of words to say per day. Man, you'd be choosing them wisely, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be talking about drama. You wouldn't bother talking about toxicity. You wouldn't bother talking about conspiracies. You'd do your research like a responsible person should, and I want to hit responsibility in a minute. You only have a certain amount of words per day, so you choose them really well, and you educate other people, and you leave something really good with them. Because as a speaker, I have the responsibility, which means that I think of other people, and I don't use my ego to project my agenda, because then I'm no better than the people I'm complaining about. So I think that's a big thing. And with responsibility comes respect, so you don't use the bad words. And I'm getting sick of stuff like, you know, Chris Rock and the swearing all the time, and how many times can you swear in how many seconds?
Well, it doesn't make me laugh. It doesn't make me... I don't think it's funny. I don't think this stuff is funny. And I'm just wondering why people think this is funny.
Somebody said brainwashing.
Exactly right. It is brainwashing, and it's social engineering to think that it's okay now.
That's the third time you said that, social engineering. I keep hearing Rockefeller saying, I don't want a nation of people that think. I want a nation of people that work.
Exactly.
It's all dumbing us down. Look at the fluoride. Now they're putting lithium with the fluoride in the water sources. Now they were spraying lithium on Oregon. They can vaccinate us with chemtrails. The list is endless. It's very obvious what they're trying to do. I gotta go though. I just
all
wanted
right,
to thank
we'll see
you
later.
I didn't even think I'd be tagged in here. This is great. we should do this again.
Well, thanks.
Hey, Luca, love you.
If we're not contacts already, Lucas, add me as a contact. I'll accept that deal, and I would love to have you back again.
Okay, I hope that was a threat, because that was taken very seriously.
No, it was an invitation,
so
brother. We give invitations around here, not threats.
No, okay. Okay, we'll see you later.
All right, so folks...
I just want to say, over on People for People, there's a couple of really good comments, you know.
Well, go ahead, Rainbow.
And I got to say, I know I say it a lot, but the People for People, I mean, these... The people that are in the chat are awesome. I love you guys because you're right on it. We've got Red who says, constraint is control. Don't need to be tied up to be constrained. And he's absolutely right. And then Grizz says, control the head and you control the body.
Yep.
Physically and mentally. And that is so true. And then Red once again says, Oliver Twist was allowed to ask the words, can I have more? Words are magic, but it's the association attached to the words. One word can evoke emotions in one man and might not evoke the emotions in another man because he doesn't have the same associations.
Yep.
The associations are given to us. The giving of associations is the magic too. And this is another thing, you know, that goes right along with what I've been trying to say is they tell us by socializing everything we do into this big conglomerate of angst is what I call it, because you stick your hand in there and you pull something out and it's definitely going to incite somebody on the other side. And you stick the other hand in there and you pull out, and whatever association you've pulled out over there is going to incite the person on the other side. This is the way it works. If we get down to it and we sit down together and we look each other in the eye and we say, what is it that we can do that will bring peace, that will bring abundance, that will bring health, that will give a future to our children that we can be proud of. It's totally different from all of these little angst that they put in this pot. Nothing in that pot has anything to do with solutions. It only has to do with separation. It only has to do with division. So if we know that everything in that pot is bad stuff, that the stuff in that pot is not going to make us feel full, it's not going to satisfy our hunger, it's not going to satisfy what we need, why do we keep going back to that pot and sticking our hands out in there and pulling that stuff out? Why don't we build our own fire and our own pot and put the solutions in there and put our hands in there and pull it out and say, okay, this is my solution. What do you think? Well, here's my solution. What do you think? All of a sudden, we have solutions, and we're talking about solutions instead of the stuff that is wrong. We know all this stuff is wrong. We knew it 10 years ago. We knew it 15 years ago. We knew it 20 years ago. None of this stuff that we're talking about is new. The words are just new. The social engineering has stepped up a step or two, but it's all the same. Nothing ever changes in here. They're still dividing us. They're still moving us on down the pasture toward the chute to get on a truck. And we have everything we need to say, no, we're not going to do it anymore. We're going to sit together, and we're going to implement our own solutions in our own way, in our own time, you know?
But in order to do that, the individuals out there listening into this show have to realize that you too are part of that picture. You have power.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think that there's why we're doing this show is that for that reason. I mean, we thankfully, and this is our key, our real key focus, I think, is solutions. And we have them. And I think that we're doing this show to share the solutions, but also to help people to know why we need these solutions.
Yeah.
You know, but the people who maybe are just out there wondering, okay, what are these people talking about? And I'm not sure if I get this, or, you know, that's why we talk about what is important to understand and then offer the solutions, because I think we've all been researchers here for so many years and have seen the unfolding of the worst situations coming at us. And I was talking to Patty, and I were talking, as we usually do, about certain things, and, you know, I had said, I got a message a couple of years ago to change tactics, I guess you'd say. Well, for instance, I went down to Colombia, South America. I was invited to go there to be with the Kogi and the Arhuaco people. And, you know, when I came back, I realized that, these people live prayer. They walk prayer. Every step is a prayer. Their life between the sacred feminine and masculine is complete. And this is how they live their lives, in that harmony and balance. And their works, they said, they were put in the heart of the world to create, you know, bring the harmony and balance through their ceremonies. Well, you know, when I came home, I was deeply humbled. I felt like, wow, I'm not praying at all. I mean, and I pray every day. You know, I carry a sacred pipe and so on. So I do pray every day, but I realize I am not doing enough, you know. I'm just not. Living with these people for a while was very humbling and really opened my eyes to what living a prayer, like my teacher Wallace Black Elk used to say, every step is a prayer. Every step you take is a prayer. Either you're praying or you're not. So mostly the way we function is, you know, maybe people go to church on Sunday, or maybe once in a while when there's real trouble for them, they'll sit down or get on their knees and pray when the things are really bad, and then the rest of the time they're going about their business, you know. So it's a difference compared to living, every step you take is a prayer. And it doesn't mean that you're walking down the road going, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, that's not what he's talking about. You know, it's your awareness, it's your conscious relationship, it's this inner knowing of yourself as one with, you know, one with Creator, one with all of life, Matakwiyo Yasin, and living according to the law of one. That's an awareness, that's a conscious choice to make, to become that, to live that. That's a prayer. You know, and of course, coming across people, it's with kindness and compassion, and it's relationship of the highest that we could ever, you know, come to achieve. So, you know, when I came back, I realized that, you know, that humbled me to realize I need to do deeper work here. I need to be more in that relationship energetically, because the energy is what the Kogis are talking about. When they do their prayers, when they walk the 300 some miles around the black, they call it the black line or linea negra, the line around the heart of the world, there are over 300 plus sacred sites where they stop and pray and make offerings for the whole world. In other words, that offering, that prayer, that gift to Creator right there on that point goes out through the sacred web and harmonizes and balances and touches the whole. That's what this is about. So, you know, I realize that I need to help people to understand this more, of the significance of this energy, this frequency of prayer, of gratitude, how powerful that is. And of course it comes along with the words that we speak that are powerful too, and what we believe in, and what is our vibration or our frequency in the moment. So, you know, so anyway, talking about this, you know, this giving the messages out to the people, or getting frustrated because people aren't awakening, and going all through that, you know, and feeling like, okay, some of us have said, "I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. What am I doing? Am I making any difference?" You know, we've all gone through that, and we've all lifted each other up, you know, during those times. We've all said, "Okay, wait a second now. Your words are meaningful. You have helped people." You know, and I came to the realization that I don't need proof, okay, that maybe I helped 50,000 people. All I know is that I need to do my work. Exactly. All I know is that perhaps my good heart or my words or, you know, something along those lines will touch one person. If it touches one person, it will touch a million people. Okay, because that's how the ripples flow.
While I was listening to your words, I got this picture in my head. And the picture is of a man with a sword coming out of his mouth. All right? And basically, those words and the power of the prayer, the power of your words, it could either be a weapon, or it can be something that's going to benefit humanity. Those words, you could literally lift somebody up to the highest reaches of what we believe to be heaven, or the lowest, greatest, darkest abyss of hell in itself. But it wasn't that your words were being harmful or anything like that, Barbara. It's that vision of how powerful those words were while you were speaking those words. If people could only understand, I wish there was actually a picture out there on the internet somewhere of a sword coming out of somebody's mouth, how powerful that visual, you know, actually is. Does that make any sense to what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, of course it does, but, you know, you can see, this is the piece I've attempted to bring people to an understanding about, is the power that we have for over 30 years because of the messages I've received about the power that we have, that Creator gave us. It's all about energy. It's about our words. It's about our beliefs. It's about our emotions.
Somebody messing with their mic?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, Barb, because you got kind of drowned out.
All right, I was saying that the power that we have, the Creator gave us to understand this, has been my work for over 30 years, is to know how powerful we are, how our words have an energy, a frequency, how everything is energy. And we're not given that information, but this is a truth. So you have to say that the words that you speak, the thoughts that you think, the emotions that you exude have a frequency. Either they're high, on the high ladder, you know, of sacredness, of joy, of gratitude, or they're on the lower frequency, which is anger, which is frustration, which is jealousy, which is judgment and greed. All of these have a power. And what is that power doing? It's creating. Okay? It's manifesting and creating. So when you say your words uplifted me or your words knocked me down, that is a power. And it's not just you who I am speaking to there out in the world and who is in my universe here, in my family, in the surrounding areas. That's my universe, my personal universe, right? But it's not just there. It doesn't stop just there. What I do, what I say, my actions, the way I walk on this Mother Earth, emanates throughout the whole sacred web and touches all creation, all beings. And we are all in relation, therefore we all feel, we all receive, we all give out, we all... So this is the process of creation. When we say Om Atakwiye Oyasin, it means we are all related energetically, okay, spiritually, you know, mind, body, spirit. We are all connected, not just with people, but with all of creation. So, you know, I came to the realization, I was told basically that we are in a timeline now, sort of like I was told the grace period is ended. The grace period, you know, I mean, in a way you could say, well, what was that grace period? It was like, well, we all had an opportunity through millennia to get it right. You know, it's like Creator gave us that time. The Creator gave us that time to learn, to fall down, to make mistakes, to choose through our free will, one way or the other, dark or light, good or whatever. Now the grace period is ended, where I was told that it is up to us now to really find the truth and the source within our own selves, to put down the books, to put down the whatever that you relied upon before that someone told you, oh, that's what your dream means. You had a water dream, oh, that's what that means. Or you had an eagle fly over you and look at you, oh, that's what that means. This is about our time to develop the gifts that Creator gave every one of us that has been basically usurped by the cabal, so that we really don't know who we are, the power that we do have to be in relationship with all of creation and nature and our Creator. So I was told basically the time for pulling at people, pushing people, dragging people, screaming at people, if you want to call it that, whatever it is, for them to awaken up, that's gone. That's done. Doesn't mean that I won't stop talking. It doesn't mean that I won't stop sharing what I've been told to share. But in fact, the frustrations and that we have to stop being frustrated at people because they are on their sacred pathway too. And I can't say to you people out there, well, if you don't do this, you're going to be doomed. That is not for me to say. That is Creator's choice, Creator's doing. You know, so until I'm not here anymore on this earth, I will speak my truth and still do this work, but my personal work needs to become more powerful. That's why I said when I realized I came back from the Kogi there and I saw, wow, I am so on the lower end of the totem pole here about the sacred works that I'm doing. These people live a sacred way. I thought I lived in a sacred way. I do to some degree, but I need to do so much more. And I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about the frequencies. I'm talking about the sacred works, which is basically, and I spoke about this to Lizzie on People to People, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be beautiful if we all got together at a prescribed time and sat down and talked about beautiful stories, about miracles, about bringing people in through, you know, into this circle around the sacred fire, and sharing the miracles, the beauties, the poems, the stories, even the prayers, even
I like
the
that.
Huh?
I like that.
Even to communicating, how do we communicate to Creator? How do we communicate? How do we reach Creator? We reach Creator through our words, from our heart, through communication. And it's not a prescribed prayer. I'm not talking about organized prayer. Because when you, in our way, in the First Nations people, I learned how to pray when I came back to the way of the people. I grew up Catholic, so all the prayers were prescribed and organized to me. It was all rote. You know, I didn't know what I was saying. It wasn't what I felt in my heart. You know, I was in basically trained to be in fear of this God who might punish me, and I'm going to go to confession, and I have to get forgiven over and over by this man in a dress, and I'm going to say it, because that's organizing me. Now, when I went back to the Chunkaluta, the Red Road, and the Lakota tradition, and adopted into that tradition, I was shocked when I heard the people pray, because they were speaking like they were sitting with Creator. They were just sitting there saying to Creator, this is who I am. I'm your child, but I'm a pitiful child here, and I need help. I'm afraid, or I need help with this, or it's just from your heart. The prayers are from your heart. Nobody's telling you how to pray. You have to make a relationship, and that's a powerful energy. It's a powerful frequency. It changes and shifts everything. It's a real relationship. It's a real communication. And I think that's been taken away from us by being organized in everything. I was just saying, wouldn't it be beautiful if we could all come together, you know, and powerfully send out this frequency of light and love and gratitude and joy and stories and miracles and... I'm just saying. That's what I mean.
No, you're right. It would be. It's a necessity that we actually, because, you know, like I talk about when words have actual physical reaction in my body right there, your mind is so incredibly powerful, and people are told over and over again that they're not. And that's why we try to uplift everybody's spirit and tell them the solution is you, quite literally. The things that you think about, the things that you absorb in your mind, the pictures, you know, and when people are out there bombarding each other with filth and smut and all the distractions of the world, they lose sight of what's most important. You know, this life that we're living, you know, according to the way that the numbers go, we really ain't here on this earth very long. It's not even nowhere near eternity. But the short time we are here... Our words come with responsibility. Our actions come with responsibility. Everything that we choose to do affects all those ripples in the pond that Barbara talked about. Everything that we say, every action we take makes a difference. And so, with that said, if you understand that just by being a total jerk to everybody all day long, you send a ripple of negativity out down the stream that is going to send yet even more negative ripples down the stream. And if it's all about making this world a better place and becoming in tune with you know, working in harmony with nature itself and, you know, protecting our environment and one another and actually righting all the wrongs of the past and getting these people that are in need the help that they need, you know, there's only one person that can start that ball rolling, and that is you, quite literally you and me.
There's one thing to take into consideration, that some of the old sayings have a real strong purpose and a truth. And so what goes round comes round.
Yep.
So when you are spewing out that stuff, eventually it's going to come back and slam you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what I see is that when I am in prayer... You know, this is, I used to tell people all the time, they'd say, you know, well, when I would say, you know, religion is just manufactured. It's not, it has nothing to do with you. And they'd say, well, when I pray, I'm praying to Creator. I say my prayers at dinner, and I say my prayers before I go to bed. But it's not about that. My people, the ancestors, our tribal people, they woke up in prayer. They went to sleep in prayer. Everything to them was a prayer. And it wasn't about our Father who art in heaven. It was about giving thanks and being in gratitude for life. Even in the darkest of times, we found the way to say thank you for the blessing. And this is what prayer is supposed to be about. And when we come in truth, in that communication, then we see ourselves in the reality of who we are, and it's easy for us to say, I am a child, and I have made mistakes, or I have erred. I need your help. This is what the truth of us comes in, because we walk around all day in this world, and we see everything that goes on, and we interact in the same way. And a lot of times we forget that we are fallible, that we don't have the full picture. We weren't given the full picture. The only thing we were assured of is that we are connected, and that we will learn according to that connection. And if we take, it's like if you take a wall socket and you have a plug to put in there, but half of that plug wire is not connected. When you plug it in there, you're not getting the full picture. You're not getting anything. But when you have both of those wires together and you plug it in there, you've made the connection. That other wire that we rarely add to that connection is the truth inside ourselves. It is the truth of ourselves and being honest with ourselves. And it's when we make that connection, then we can stand there. When Two Dog says a prayer at the end of every show, what does he say? He says, I come to you, Wakantanka, a small man. I need your help, your guidance. That is his truth. That is the truth where he stands, and it's coming from him. And that is what we need to get back to. We need to accept the fact that we are fallible. We are in this dualistic reality that teaches us that there's only one side that's good and one side that's bad, and we're going to be either one, but we're both.
Yep.
It's our choice.
Yeah,
it's
funny.
Our choice in recognizing our own truth that separates that for us.
Does anybody see that picture that's in the Skype chat?
Yeah.
And that's why I want to just continue this thread, because when we say a prayer in Lakota, we say Ikchewichasha Unshmalayo Ikchewichasha, take pity, Creator, take pity on me, take pity on us, you know. And we say, I am pitiful, like Two Dog says, I'm a small man. It doesn't mean that literally he is, in a way that people might think, well, he's dissing himself. No, it's coming before a greater being, because we are pitiful. We are just children here. We are not greater than the Creator, and we are still learning. And if anybody has problems with saying, I'm a pitiful before your Creator, I'm pitiful, help me, well, maybe you have some extra work to do here. I don't know, because this is the way our people prayed, is speaking the truth. You know, I am a little person here. I'm just a woman here, and I know nothing. Help me, you know. This is the way of the understanding our place here on the earth, and that there is something far greater, and there always will be something far greater. And we are children here learning. We are making mistakes, and we've made some bad mistakes. Like Patty says, yeah, we carry the both sides here within ourselves. Everyone, yeah.
This picture, it's really heartbreaking when you look at it, because if you got any kind of heart and soul, you kind of look back on your own life and try to think whether or not you were ever, you know, too harsh with somebody or whatever, you know. And it's just, I can't emphasize, I know you guys have said it in such a wonderful fashion, to try to tell people how powerful their words really are. That the future of humanity is our children. And the way that you talk to your children, and the things that you allow to come across their social media network while you're out there on Facebook and being manipulated by the the dopamine hits that they give you every time you post something on there, or even the negative comments when somebody disapproves of what you're saying and you get a reaction and you want to go back and fight back. You got to understand that you're being manipulated, you're being mind controlled into putting information out there for an entity that doesn't care about you as a person but wants to be able to control the whole narrative of anything that's being said, to have more control over the life choices that you make. But this picture right here is so, you know, I just ain't got no good enough words to say about my friend Stephen Gibbons in the chat room, because when I say things on the radio, he just somehow or another has the knack to go out there and find the perfect picture to express how important this is. Because what I'm seeing in this picture, you just have to see it yourself, but it's basically words that are choking this poor little child. And it says, your words have power, use them wisely. And these words, these pictures, these things that we say and do to each other, they are going to have serious consequences in the future. The fact that we're able to be manipulated by words alone, and that we're labeled, and that we're labeled by color, and we're labeled by all these different social justice or politically correct terminology and stuff. This should be a red flag that everybody should be able to recognize. But I feel like, and the reason why I wanted to do this show today is because I feel like that the people of this world are in so deep and colorblind to the red flags that are around, that they are missing out on the warning signs of where we're going as humanity. I got a deep love for my brothers and sisters around the world, just like everyone on this panel that's ever, every night that's ever stood on this panel and spewed out the words of hope and peace and love and solutions and ideas and stuff like that. This is what the Knights of the Round Table is all about, fighting against that darkness that is, you see in this picture. If you got any kind of heart and mind at all, you can understand you wouldn't want to use your words to hurt some child or even your loved ones or your friends, or for that matter, maybe even an enemy. You might want to use some good words to try to hopefully steer them towards the light. We're standing at a crossroads right now where we have the opportunity to do something so amazing, so incredible for humanity. And we're allowing a bunch of little tiny insignificant dots to be the capstone on the pyramid, as we're the base that's holding up and holding the burden for all of what their dirty deeds are. Whenever Two Dog mentioned how the representative goes to another nation and tells them, you know, I come speaking for the people and I want to come to war with you if you don't do as I say. And Two Dog saying, well, he doesn't represent me. Well, I don't believe the system represents any of us. And I believe that you, as an individual, have so much power that if you could recognize that power, instead of turning those words on one another, you turn those words towards the darkness where they need to be. You start turning on your lights. You start building your networks. You bring people to People for People Radio and other wonderful networks with other wonderful people who really care. They seriously care. If you sit down and talk to these people over there, you're going to find out these people are like you. They're good people. Good-hearted souls who would do whatever they could to uplift your spirit and give you some hope and the information necessary to make it through this battlefield of life that we find ourselves on. I get so incredibly overwhelmed by this show. I know the urgency of this message. And it quite literally brings me to tears. When I see something like this picture right here, I see something like the baby that I talked about in previous shows. I know the urgency of the message, just like these wonderful folks that are here with me sharing this message. The biggest thing is, what are you going to do with this information? Are you just going to let it slide down that river of data that you know, people are sending out their cries for help. Are you going to reach over there and you're going to grab on to that message and you're going to tell somebody else out there in this world that they're worthy and that they are your family? This is what we've been trying to point out to you. This is why Two Dog does what he does with his flags. This is why Barbara says the words that she says and Patty says the words that she says. Because the message is urgent. If they told us that there was a problem in the world, the only ones that can fix it is us, because their track record clearly stinks. They're still bombing somebody around this planet. There's still somebody hungry. And there's still a need for some homeless person to have some shelter in the cold. And until we can get our act together and realize how powerful we really are, my heart's going to bleed. My soul is going to be eaten alive by this mess. Because I got a faith in humanity that if we could ever, ever just figure out how to come together and put our differences aside, there is so much that our Creator has given us, so many blessings, so many wonderful things, so many resources. We have every single thing we need to fix every single problem under the sun.
Indeed.
Somebody take it away.
Well, I just think, and I'll make this short, I think that the main thing that we're lacking today across the globe is empathy, the ability to step on the other side. You know, we're so galvanized today in our beliefs. And personal beliefs, you should be able to stand in that belief and not be shaken by it. No one should be able to shake that belief. And if they can, then you need to reevaluate, not attack them. The triggers that we have, the triggers that affect us all, there are some that are purposely manipulated into society to do exactly that. And we're all biting on it. We're all reaching out and saying, okay, that's my trigger. Okay, that's my trigger. It's because we care. It's because we are living in a time to where there are no constants. This world is going upside down, turning all around, inside out. Every single day we wake up and we see what is wrong with this world. And it's everywhere. We are being attacked personally. We're being attacked in groups. We're being attacked in societies. We're being attacked in education, in the sciences. Everywhere we are being attacked. The triggers are out there, and all of us are going to reach for a trigger because we are human beings and we care. If we didn't care, none of that would matter to us. So the fact that we are reacting should show us that we do actually care. But what are we caring about? That's the focus. Are we caring about each other, or are we caring about what the system is creating? Do we realize that the system can't create anything without our acceptance of it, without our taking up their mantle of deception, of division, of angst against each other? That's where the problem lies. It's not in the governments. It's not in the institutions. It's within us. We carry that angst, that trigger. We carry that division. And it's up to us to decide that we won't do that anymore. We can come together. It is possible. It can happen. But we have to realize that we are not only part of the solution, but we are also at the same time part of the problem. And if we can see within ourselves clearly and honestly and know that the road that we want to be on is different from the road we're on right now, and make the decision, make the choice to walk that red road the one that says that it's going to be an uphill battle, but you got to stick with it. You got to stand in the truth. And what is the truth? We are all related. We all come from the same source. We are all being inundated with the same evils, with the same constraints, with the same controls. We are all suffering by the same hands. And we all, we are such a massive, massive, massive army, if you want to say, of change. As soon as we decide that we're going to work toward each other instead of following the lead of these systems that have been created to keep us in this flux of not being able to do anything. We sit here year after year after year after year telling the truth, showing the truth. This is what's wrong. Look what's happening. Look what's going to happen to us. We do this over and over and over and over. Are we any closer? Are we any closer? Or are we continually waiting for this system to give us the next trigger to use against each other? Maybe it's time for us to ignore that system and start putting everything we've got into each other and reaching out to each other. Maybe it's time for us to step out of our doors, away from our computers, and start talking to our neighbors. Maybe it's time for us to start realizing that we are both the problem and the solution, and it's only the choice we make that will determine which part of that we promote. Just saying.
I could not have said it better. Just blows me away. I just could not have said it better. Barbara, you got any words of wisdom? We're getting close to that time again.
Well, it's hard to follow my sister there. I love you, Patty, and send my love all out there to everybody, and Chief Charles Two Dog, and Luca, and Shaziz, all beautiful people. My brothers and sisters, you know, everyone out there, I just, you know, always give thanks to Creator for the day, every day, and for my life here, and yeah, the things that we say, the things that we share, we feel passionate about, because we love everybody, we love the Mother, we love all people here, even those who are lost, and even those who are, you know, maybe trapped, maybe... yeah, I just say lost, or maybe we could, I guess I want to say, you know, let us not judge those people. Let us instead send them good prayers that they be touched by Creator, you know, that their spirit is awakened, that their mind becomes clear, their hearts open, and that they no longer are confused or spinning or controlled or walking down the opposite direction. I send out, you know, always to give people hope and know that there are solutions. That's what we always work here to share with people. And there are enormous solutions, so many solutions. And I always say, you know, the one solution that is key for me, very important piece here, and it is about getting right with your Creator, building your spiritual garden, that foundation that we all need to stand strong on, something beneath us, around us, surrounding us, and inside of us that is so powerful, so strong, that we can weather through whatever, whomever wants to throw anything at us. It's that connection to our source, you know, the love, unconditional love of the Creator, Mother, Father. And so I just say, I pray that way, you know, for people to be awakened, and our leaders too, even our present president. I pray for that man. You know, because he's caught too as a puppet, as they all are, and in right now he's in a position making policies, decisions for that affect our lives and our generation's lives, and who's gonna come, whomever's gonna come, if there's somebody gonna come after him, they're gonna be doing the same thing. So I pray to Creator for our leaders all over the world, to the Creator touches them, awakens them, and brings them into that balance and harmony so that they can understand not only that humanity is sacred, but all of creation is sacred, and to work instead to be stewards of this Mother Earth and the coming generations. So I pray that way. I don't judge those people. I may speak about the things they're doing because it is a truth. I'm not angry at them. I'm not hateful at them. I don't make judgments. I don't throw out negative things towards them, because that's an energy that I know very well that does harm instead of good. And those that are lost and doing negative things and caught, even if they sold their soul, I still pray that Creator takes charge here of those people and helps them. So we are all helped. So, because we are all related. They are our brothers and sisters too. Maybe some of them are really lost. But again, that's up to Creator to make that judgment. I cannot make that judgment. I will not make that judgment. I am not a creator. I am not that God. I am just a woman here. You know, I don't know very much. What I share with you are some of my experiences and my insights, and I don't insist or push or pressure anyone to believe me. I always say, do your own research here, you know. And whatever you do, don't fall for the fear. Don't fall for the hopeless helplessness, because that's all part of the agenda, because we are so much more powerful than they. That is why they fear us. That's all.
I always love to hear you speak, Barbara. Is the wisdom that comes from your heart, it's wonderful. Folks, I honestly believe that we have the power to free our family from the traps that this world has basically put upon us. You gotta remember, in this society that we live in the world that we live in, it's the people who are the base of the pyramid that hold up the power structure that is the beast that's crushing us all. And I honestly believe that if the day ever comes that we decide to leave that position, such as being the base of the pyramid, and step aside and start working with one another, that system it'll destroy itself. In the meantime, the system is keeping us in that little box at that base of that pyramid, and it's keeping us fighting amongst each other. It's keeping us using our power of our spoken word and our actions to harm each other. It's labeled us. It's labeled us by color, by race, by religion, by everything under the sun that you can think about. All these different politically correct or politically incorrect terminology. It has used the power of words to keep us in chains of bondage for so many years, and it is time for people to wake up to the light and just see. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a believer in a higher power, you got to find some sort of belief, some sort of spirituality, some sort of hope that's going to give you the motivation to do what you know in your heart's right. Your heart will talk to you if you listen to it. I know that my heart's talked to me. It's talked to me, and it said there's urgent times that we live in, and we got to do something about it. You won't hear us out here fear-mongering. And you won't hear us out here not trying to find a solution to every single issue out there. What you will hear us do is to reach as far down in our heart and pull our truths up and put them out there, with all the respect and honesty that we can possibly give, and every strength of energy that we can muster to try to put a message out there. Maybe it is true that we are messengers. Maybe you are a messenger. And the only way that that message ever gets across to anybody else past this firewall that we call the internet and the control that is there, the censorship, is if you happen to be fortunate enough to hear this wisdom, that you go out there and open your mouth and spread that message to somebody else. Or if you have the opportunity to grab up the podcast and play it on your network or share it to somebody or on any of your social media networks. That's how you let other people know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that there are people out there just like them. They're trying to make this thing better. I refuse to give up on a dream. I believe that it is possible. No matter what any prophecy or book or anything else said, I believe our Creator gave us a free will for a purpose. I believe our Creator gave us everything we needed without ever having to worry about run out of it. We're so worried that we're going to run out of resources. We're going to run out of fresh water. We're going to run out of food. The world's overpopulated. We've heard all the lies. But I believe that this system was quite deliberately set up because it knew that we were going to be in this position to where we were going to have to make a decision whether or not to tear one another apart and destroy all that is, or to figure it out, to find the ultimate quest, the ultimate question, the answer to what is the meaning of life. And when we actually get to that point where we all recognize the true meaning of life and our purpose here, then that's when we're going to see that utopia that we dreamed about. I believe in the dream. And I'll continue to believe in the dream. Because the alternative of the darkness that is beating each and every one of my brothers and sisters down around this world, every time another body falls from hunger or sickness or war, I feel it. I feel it every time they cry. I feel it every time they get angry. To some extent, I don't even like being feeling like this. I don't like being tapped into whatever it is that's going on in my body. Because when the world hurts, I hurt. When the babies are crying, I'm crying. Maybe that makes me soft, but if that's what it takes to be soft, to cry while I'm praying, cry with agony and misery or whatever, to tell my Lord that we need help. That we can't do it alone. We got to get the people out there to work together. By God, if it takes burning myself to the ground with all the pain that floods in my heart every time I hear something bad in this world, I'll walk through this a million times if necessary, if only for that dream to even be a possibility. And people want me to believe that it's hopeless, and I refuse. I refuse because of the words that Jesus spoke to my heart. I refuse to lay down the darkness. I refuse to give up. I refuse because I know the love in my heart is so much stronger than that darkness is trying to attack me every single day with all the negativity that I see every time I open up this matrix and I look into the heart of the demon itself. I know that my Lord's more powerful. And it pains me to watch people out there not realizing how powerful, how lucky, how blessed that they truly are. These people on this panel, they get it. Somewhere in this world, through their trials and tribulations, their valleys of blessings, somewhere in this world, the light came on and they got it. And that's why they're here. That's why we're here. I don't think it was an accident that these wonderful people showed up at this round table. I don't think it's an accident that you're listening. I think that this world and our Creator's talking to us, giving us a chance. Time after time, giving us a chance, another chance, and another chance. And we're all complaining how, well, we didn't have to give us another chance. And you're stepping over them one right after another. Every miracle that lands at your feet, and you're bypassing it. You're not even seeing it. That go look in the mirror, and you realize that you yourself are the miracle that you've been looking for. This is the message that needs to get out. Before we as people tear each other so far apart that it's never going to be able to be repaired. That's what the darkness wants. That's why the darkness does what it does. Two Dog, you got a prayer in your heart for this world? Some words of wisdom?
Before Two Dog takes us out with a prayer, if it would be okay, Luca had left a message in the chat that I think should be read out. If Two Dog wants to do that, that's fine, or I can read it out. It doesn't matter, but I think that it should be read.
Yeah, it needs to be heard. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do it like this first, and then if you wish, you can say this. Get ye money to walk on tongue. God, Jesus, Buddha, all the names that people call you around the world, hear me. I send you a weak voice right now, for I am weak myself. I am only your child. You are a God of peace. You have always been one. You have set that peace light inside my own heart. May we walk in honor while we walk upon this earth. May we humble ourselves to El and to you. May we be grateful and humbly grateful, Grandfather, that you have allowed us to see the sun come, and you have allowed this Grandfather Son to be touching our faces. Grandfather, we thank you for all life that we are a part of. Many have forgotten, but the voices that we are sharing today may bring back those thoughts to those who have forgotten. Grandfather, I want to thank you for the ancestors that taught us how to be. And thank you for the old ones. Thank you for the grandmothers and the grandfathers that have taught us how to be. And that taught us how to be with you. Grandfather, I thank you for every step I take. And I do know that humbly everything I say can reflect on me. Grandfather, I know that in all humbleness, that when I am over in this world, my spirit will take its journey to you. But may I be here to do your bidding as I am. Other than that, my grandfather, I say, thank you very much for allowing the breath of life to come through all life. Aho, Metakawasi.
Amen, brother.
I'd like to read, Luca Mano had joined us earlier in the show, and he had to leave for an appointment, but before he left, he posted something in the Skype chat, and I think it is very fitting for what we're trying to say, and I want to thank Mano for, Luca for putting this in here, so I'm going to read it out. It says, what if I told you that you fit into the scheme of things of the most important and innovative thinkers and doers of a world to come? What if I told you that your work alone is significant in helping the entire tribe of people in the world to come? What if I told you that you are a color, as a unique fingerprint, a color, someone who sees only in his or her way, individually, honing in on what you're good at and making it possible then to then share that knowledge with the world, with the needy world to come? What if I told you how special, unique, and needed you are? Yes, you. So keep making yourself more beautiful every day for the rest of humanity, for that time when it is yours to shine. And thank you, Mano, Luca Mano, for putting that out for us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree. Folks, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear what's on your heart. We want all the positive you can pour out. I want to see a show like what Barbara mentioned earlier. Maybe it was Patty. Both of you guys are like one. Just, I don't know. But either way, the talk about actually having a show where...
Actually, that's the vision given to me recently, Jesus.
I think that's neat. That needs to be done. That needs to be every miracle that you can muster that you've witnessed in your life. Come and bring it and share it and jump on the microphone and show the world. I honestly believe that the light will always overcome the darkness. I believe that with everything that I am. I know it's just, these are just the painful times, kind of like the birthing pains mentioned in the book about the last days and such. I believe we're, getting a little more intense every single time. The warning goes unheeded by humanity that we should be getting closer to our Creator and one another, and that the battle to come is going to be so much. And if we have this much problem working with each other right now, imagine if things really got bad. I don't ever want to see them get really bad, and I believe we have the power to steer this boat in a different direction. I believe we have the power to right every single wrong on this earth. I believe we have the power to take care of one another with all the gifts that we've been given, and that's all we're asking for. We're not trying to solicit any donations or anything like that. All we're trying to do is share our heart and our message with the world in hopes that you'll pick up that candle and you'll walk over there on the other side of the darkness and help light that side of the room. And the more you out there that bring that message to people out there and tell them, look, hey, no man knows the time or day. Nobody knows when the end is near or end is nigh or however they want to say it. All the doom and gloomers that try to scare you into believing we're all doomed and there ain't nothing we can do about it. I'm saying we're not. We're not doomed. We were given a choice whether or not we choose to be doomed. We can either follow the status quo and keep being that base of that pyramid holding up those evil elite that we all despise for their actions and their wars and their negativity. Or we can take that true power that is inside of each and every one of you listening to this radio show right now. And even if you think it's on a small scale, nothing in this world's small. There's no such thing as a small smile. That smile will resonate throughout the world if you give it the opportunity to do so. And your words and your actions, like that picture that wonderful soul Stephen Gibbons found out there, it has meaning. It quite literally brought me to tears because I understand how powerful my words are. And that picture had come through my head, the sword coming out of a man's mouth. You choose how you're going to wield that. You can choose it with wisdom, or you can choose it in the ignorance and the damage that you do, or the wonderful creation that you put out there for that world with your frequency, your resonating, or whatever, your energy, however you want to say it. You can take and lift somebody's soul up to the highest parts of heaven with the words that come out of your mouth, or you can lower them down to the greatest, darkest abyss of the most pure evil in the history of time. Those men at the top, and those women at the top, they know this. They use the social media networks. They use all these little computer programs and AIs. They use all the tools and the technology that right now the world is immersed in. And I'm one of many people that is standing back and telling you it's a trap. Quite literally, it's a trap. And you need to pull your brothers and sisters out of that trap in any means necessary that you can do in the most peaceful and loving manner possible. Because like we said earlier, it's a painful thing to wake up to what's really going on in this world. But you are the last line of defense for all your family out there. You're the last hope for humanity. When you realize that, those words that came out of the mouth of that doggone grasshopper in a bug's life, which I think I'm going to find that, and I think I'm going to actually play that on the way out of here. But he said that those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And the moment they realize that, then our way of life is over. That's why the global elite of this world are scared. That's why they're stepping up their game. That's why this mind control and this manipulation of your heart and soul is getting more intense day by day. That's why you only find certain name brand medias out there. That's why they're shutting your brothers and sisters and your truthers down. Because they have to control the words. They have to control the power in order to control you. So with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If this speaks to your heart, and it speaks with wisdom and truth and common sense, and you're willing to share that message, you have that power. Patty, thank you very much for your words. Barbara, Two Dog, I'm humbled and honored. Thanks. Peace and love.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh, one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would
feel... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsing-able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Seize the turbo and the knights of the round table.